gentlemen, welcome to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from the InfoWars studios here in Austin, Texas. It is the 3rd of December, 2025, and we have too much to talk about today. We'll be getting into, of course, what's happening with Pete Hegseth, which I understand. I mean, if I was a normie, I guess I would perceive this as a unique and sort of dislocated event that's happening. But of course, if you're a viewer of InfoWars, you know this is just the latest installation in the soap opera, just the latest episode in the long-running drama that is the Deep State's effort to oust Pete Hegseth by any means necessary. We'll get back into that, but we'll also talk about the Somalians, of course, and Stuart Rhodes is going to join me next hour to have a little debate. He came in my office this morning. I was like, you know, what do you want to talk about? We ended up having like an hour and a half discussion. I wouldn't even call it a debate, but a discussion about the seditious six, basically, and, you know, what to do about it and how to confront the sedition without destroying the First Amendment. It's a very difficult subject to cover, and I'm very excited to rehash it with him after like an hour. We're like, we should be doing this on air. What are we doing? Why are we having this conversation where nobody can see it? This is an important discussion that we're going to have in the, so we're going to have it again. We're going to have it again at 4 o'clock. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our daily dispatch. You know, those beeps actually say something. That's real Morse code you're hearing there. Here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Wednesday, the 3rd of December, 2025. Trump voids all pardons, executive orders signed using Biden's unauthorized auto pen. President Trump has said that all pardons, executive orders, proclamations, and other documents signed with an unauthorized auto pen signature under the Biden administration are now terminated. President Joe Biden routinely used the auto pen to sign documents, and it has been revealed since he left office that the auto pen, which prints a signature on documents, had been used without his explicit authorization. Now, the president had issued a similar statement last week. President Trump said in a prior Truth Social post, any document signed by Sleepy Joe Biden and the auto pen, which is approximately 92% of them, is hereby terminated and of no further force or effect. The auto pen is not allowed to be used if approval is not specifically given by the president of the United States. The auto pen has been subject of controversy for Trump since he took office. His method of signing important documents is typically on camera. So now these executive orders have been canceled. The pardons have been destroyed. And we await the arrest of Anthony Fauci and Hunter Biden and everybody else that was preemptively pardoned by the robot. Meanwhile, ICE prepares targeted immigration operation against undocumented Somalis in Minnesota. On December 2nd, 2025, a person familiar with the planning confirmed U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement was directed by the Trump administration to target undocumented Somali immigrants in Minneapolis, St. Paul, with final deportation orders. The Trump administration has escalated policy actions and rhetoric towards Minnesota's Somali community, including last week announcing termination of the temporary protected status for Somalis. We'll return to that. Of course, it's a major topic of conversation. Of course, it probably should have been a topic of conversation before they got here. I think if we'd had that conversation before they arrived, they would have never come in the first place. But we weren't asked then. They're able to bring them over, settle them, sponsor them with literally billions upon billions of dollars, many billions they actually send back to their terrorist networks in their home country. But now that we want to get them out, it's super hard and totally inconvenient. We got to go through all this rigmarole. Bringing them in, it's done in the quiet of the night. It's done secretly. No objections. No discussion about it, really. It just happens. It just occurs. It just, you know, like the dew in the morning on the grass. It just appears somehow. But then if you want to get them out, you got to run all through these hoops and these gates. The government is like it's like a one-way valve. It's like a ratchet set. When you want to do things that destroy America, it's easy as can be. Just slips right through. If you want to do it the other way, there's barriers there. Okay, we're learning this. Meanwhile, Pete Hegseth endangered troops by sharing plans on Signal Chat, report says. Yes, Signalgate is rearing its ugly head at just the right time to pile on to Pete Hegseth, as, again, they are just desperate to get him out of his position, as they have been since the beginning. Zelensky's meeting with U.S. envoy canceled after no real progress in five-hour Moscow talks. And it's looking like Zelensky might not be around for too much longer. We're hearing stuff out of Russia that the Russians themselves will be ousting Zelensky if nothing comes of this latest peace deal. And finally, we have this. Republican wins special election in Trump country as Democrat gains ground. So this was the special election we talked about on Monday. Republicans were victorious after all. Thank the Lord. We'll be right back.
But hey, I'm backed by you. I'm not backed by the left or Soros or the New World Order or the whoever's. I'm backed by you at theolivesealshore.com, and we have the 12 Days of Christmas sale. It is buy any supplement and get any other supplement free. That means you can buy a $20 supplement, get a $45 supplement free. Unprecedented deal. So take advantage of that right now. Get the ultramethylene blue, get the Shilajit, get the Irish Sea Moss, get the bovine colostrum. It's all there. TheAlexShowStore.com. I want to thank you all for your incredible support.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. The vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We got Somalis to talk about. We got Ukrainians to talk about. We're going to talk about Pete Hegseth and the ongoing attempt to oust him from his position, as I heard Alex saying on his show. He's the kingpin, right? He's this major barrier to their plans. And they already have somebody lined up, you know, ready to fill his position once they oust him. But it's one of those things that, how many excuses have they used to try to get rid of Hegseth? First, it was this lie about him drinking or cheating on his wife or some sort of weird high school gossip that they tried to oust him over. Then it was his tattoos. Oh, my God, his nose tattoos are racist. Well, they're a Christian cross. The hell are you talking about? And then it was Signalgate. And then it was something else. And then it was something else. And now it's the blowing up boats. And then it's Signalgate again. And it's like, okay, when somebody's giving you this many excuses for something, none of them are real. None of them are the actual reason they want him gone. They're coming up with anything. They're throwing everything at the wall to see what sticks. The point is they want him gone. And the real reason they want him gone is being hidden. Now, you can speculate on that. I have to think it's because they want to, one, use the army to overthrow Trump, and Hegseth is a barrier to that. That would be the most obvious one. But also, Hegseth has not been going along with their wider plans for world domination by starting wars overseas and getting American troops killed for their agenda. And that's a key point I think we need to reiterate. I should have grabbed it. There was a really good interview on Redacted with this colonel. He was against what was going on in Venezuela. And he was taking the perspective of a person in uniform and a person who's responsible for people in uniform and going, what are you going to tell? I mean, if we go to war with Venezuela, if we do a ground invasion, what are you going to tell the American parents that their sons died for? What is the argument here? I mean, have you ever talked to a veteran of the Middle East wars who thought they were going over there for something good only to come back home and be utterly disillusioned and realize they weren't bringing democracy. They weren't fighting for freedom. They weren't stopping weapons of mass destruction to protect the homeland. They were being used as tools for an imperial project, a land grab, and just a piece of a global movement to enslave humanity by destroying the United States. And it destroys people a lot of times. And that's with an effort to propagandize the American people into supporting the war. What is even the excuse for going to a Venezuela? Because it'll be at least one American soldier, I think, will, you know, suffer the ultimate fate being sent into Venezuela. It'll probably be thousands. What are you going to tell to the thousands of parents who lose their children in an invasion of Venezuela? What is it worth? What is this for exactly? I'm just thinking about things from a logistic standpoint, from a sort of bird's eye view, like, okay, if I was the president, what would I be doing? I have all these pieces on my chessboard. Where would I be moving them? And I just don't see the reasoning behind Venezuela. But I'd never even thought about the on the ground of the personnel and what it would be like to feel like you're being sent into a war zone and you can't even figure out why, considering the fact that the excuses are coming up with, I don't think are adequate or even like reasonable in any way. But we'll talk more about that. I want to save a lot of what's going on with Hegseth for Stuart Rhodes, because it all ties in together, the signal chat leak and all of that. There's a lot of other stuff going on. we can talk
by
about.
The way,
oh, hello.
I got busy and didn't cover it. And I noticed you wrote the headline. It's on there. The Democrats released all these new exclusive Epstein videos and photos. We have those photos and videos. And do they implicate Trump? Hopefully you'll cover that at the bottom of the hour because I forgot to hit it because it only broke during the show. I just looked at it. Does it implicate Trump? I hope you play those videos, the walkthroughs, the photos, and we'll say, does it implicate Trump? Your headline, breaking, House Democrats release videos and exclusive photos of videos of Epstein videos and photos. Do they implicate Trump? And, of course, the answer is, of course not. So then why is Trump covering it up? Because it implicates the big bankers in Israel and the British and the globalists and all that. Point is, I should have covered it. I dropped the ball. I'm just coming in here to tell you that this is a big deal. We need to get that video out and go viral, and it's important.
I do. I do plan on covering that.
The pictures Trump are covering creepy. Up right up front. They go, we're covering up for Trump. No, he's covering up for them. He's not involved. We're not absconding. We're not defending it.
The whole thing is so bizarre. We were the ones that broke the story in the first place. We covered it forever. It's the whole thing has gone topsy turvy. The pictures are creepy.
Trump signed himself onto it. The Queen of England does it. It says she's a client with the Rothschild Bank for money laundering.
Yeah.
So it's not the screwing kids is a side issue, folks. It's money laundering.
100%. And it's the control. It's the control they wield and the method by which they achieve that control. And by the way, the pictures are creepy as hell. I mean, you already saw one they threw up on screen. We're printing out more. Yeah, the dentist chair. Why does he have a dentist chair with a bunch of creepy faces on the wall? What is that about? It's like, can you? I get you're raping kids.
By the way. He had those at Zorro Ranch,
yep,
the island in the Caribbean, and in New York. So these are new photos of. Remember in Brazil where he has a dentist chair in a torture room?
Yeah.
You guys get the final scene of Brazil. The torture scene into Brazil. You ought to come in with that.
Yeah, well, it's disturbing, but it's kind of a common thing, the dentist chair.
Remember Marathon Man where the Nazi wants the diamonds and he's drilling his teeth saying, is it safe?
I don't think I ever saw that.
Yeah.
All right, crew, get Alex's clips because we'll come in with some of those. But the dentist chair thing, I mean, I don't even like getting into it because it's so creepy. There's a.
Well, you add the creepy faces.
That's next level.
I mean, they're telling you what's going on.
Yeah, no, it's creepy.
Here's the thing: they wear the faces when they torture you.
You think those are masks they wear?
Yeah, that's a well-known deal.
Lord. Yeah. We'll get into that. We'll let you know. I keep saying it. You got to open your mind to true evil. You got to really understand that these people aren't misunderstood. They're not just after money. They're not just after, material things. They have all of the money. They're after something a lot deeper and creepier than that. But the dentist chair thing, if you're a fan of true crime, you've probably heard of the toy box murders. It's like kind of a regular thing. If you're a guy that's into torture and killing innocent people, you have a dentist chair because you can strap people down. Creepy is not even the right word for it. Evil, horrifying. There's better words for it. But I know that broke kind of late, and I think the article for it was at the bottom of my stack. So if the crew wants to jump ahead and print out that article, we can cover that off the top because it is creepy. I want to investigate some of these images, these creepy masks. But of course, I mean. Let's be honest. These have been sanitized, right? These pictures were taken in 2020. That's a year after Jeffrey Epstein left.
It's all Jewish caricatures. I didn't want to say Jews. It looks like Howard Lutnick's face and shit. Put those back up.
They're like, yeah.
No, those are masks. Those are masks.
Well, it almost reminds me, in ancient Rome, they would have a family room and you'd have the death masks of all your family members on the wall. I don't think that's what this is, but that's what it reminds me.
Well, this one right down here looks like Lutnick.
It's like, I wonder if they're real people. Here, bring up the picture of the wall again, guys.
Let's see the mask I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Hold on. Go back to Brazil.
Oh, that creepy baby mask. Yeah. Do you think they actually wear, those aren't just wall decorations. Those are things.
No. If you look at some, it's a mask.
Oh my God.
I mean, some are, those are masks.
And that's a deep psychological thing when people wear masks.
Because it's like, you don't get to even interact with me while I do this.
Right. And yeah, it makes it easier to torture somebody.
Boy, they torture you at Guantanamo Bay. Does it freak the Muslims out to have a woman do it? They'd wear a devil mask and, like, put them on PCP, LSD mix. Then the women would come in and have sex with them on their menstrual period dressed as devils. And they found that was even better than, like, locking them in a coffin for 2 weeks. was doing that. Yeah, that's what they did.
Wow.
I'm not saying it's Lutnick, even though his next door neighbor's with him, but look, that one looks, the one down the corner looks just like Lutnick. I'm trying to be mean. Oh, look. Oh, is that?
Oh,
see the one, the lowest one down there, Lutnick?
Oh, it literally does, yeah. No, they look like
one right by your shoulders.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, we got to get these pictures, guys. We got to bring in these pictures so we can go through them piece by piece. Why release these now? Where did these come from? I need that article printed out, fellas. I think it was the last one I added to the list. This is the last thing. There's no mask of Trump. That's right. We don't see a mask of Trump. I don't think Trump had dentist chairs in any of his buildings.
Paintings of Bill Clinton in a blue dress. George Bush flying paper airplanes in the World Trade Center. He's telling you things there.
Yeah. Blue dress is the Monica Lewinsky dress, right? Two towers, the Jenga towers. Yeah, they're really into. They say a lot with their art. You were covering this a few weeks ago with the creepy Podesta art that they only show you a part of it. But literally, these guys have art of tortured children. It's not very American, if you ask me. It doesn't seem like the most wholesome culture that they were involved in. So, yeah, guys, bring me that article whenever you get it. We'll go through some of those videos and see what we can glean from it. But, again, these are going to be sanitized videos that are photos and videos, things like that. It's from 2020. Epstein, quote-unquote, died in 2019, a.k.a., you know, fled to his island and then probably to Tel Aviv in 2019. Y'all seen the images of the drone shot where you can just see Epstein walking around his island after he is supposedly dead, and it looks just like him. Maybe it's somebody else, but it looks just like him. It looks exactly like him. So they had plenty of time. You know, they've got the law enforcement on their side. They had plenty of time to clean out the hard drives, clean out all the real terrible stuff. And then they let somebody come in and take pictures. Now they're releasing it as if it's some major revelation. And I mean, it's the whole thing is just so utterly bizarre. And it just feels like we're repeating ourselves. But like, nobody has ever accused Trump of being involved in this in any credible way whatsoever. Not until like this year. When Trump himself said we're not releasing the Epstein, then the Democrats realized like, oh, we can use this and started pretending Trump was involved in it. For the vast majority of the time that we've been talking about Epstein, that the right wing has been talking about Epstein. I mean, you remember Epstein brought it up Trump brought up Epstein in 2015. We showed the clip last week. Trump in 2015, before he was even the nominee for the Republicans, somebody said something about Epstein. He goes, oh, creepy stuff happened at that island. You should ask the prince about that. You should ask Prince Andrew about that. He brought it up in 2015. He knew more about it. He was giving people the breadcrumbs on where to follow. Why he twisted, why he decided to call it a Democrat hoax, I don't know. Maybe he just thought it was an inconvenience. He wanted people to decide, but it's one of the biggest blunders in politics as far as I'm concerned. He should just hit it head on and continue to be the champion that was exposing all of this crap. So here's the article from The Guardian. House Democrats release new images of Epstein's private Caribbean island, Little St. James. Images and video taken in 2020, a year after he died in jail, show the late sex offender's home, one of many. House Democrats released a handful of photos and videos from Jeffrey Epstein's private Caribbean island on Wednesday, offering a rare glimpse into a secretive place where Epstein is alleged to have trafficked young girls. What do you mean alleged? He was literally convicted on that. Why do they still say alleged after he was convicted? Because they're trying to frame it as some sort of, they're not sure. It's not totally, no, it's confirmed. That's what he did. The new Epstein show his home, including bedrooms, a telephone, what appears to be an office or library, and a chalkboard on which the words Finn, intellectual, description, and power are written. One photo shows a room with a dentist chair and masks hanging on the wall. Totally normal. The New York Times reported that Epstein's last girlfriend was a dentist who shared an office with one of his shell co. Oh, that might be what it is. Oh, maybe that's what it is. Maybe he just decided to set up a $12,000 dentist chair so his dentist girlfriend could get some practice in during vacation. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's probably what it was. Thanks, Guardian. Totally absurd. Epstein owned two islands in the U.S. Virgin Islands, including Little St. James, which some locals told the New York Times they nicknamed Pedophile Island. Appropriate. In 2022, the Attorney General of the U.S. Virgin Islands reached a settlement of more than $100 million with Epstein's estate after they alleged dozens of young women and children were trafficked, raped, sexually assaulted, and held captive in the Virgin Islands at Epstein's secluded private island, Little St. James. That, again, is the other thing. If people try to downplay this, they point to victims that were like 17, and they're like, age of consent someplace. Like, what's the big deal? So he had some young girl. No. They would take people's passports. They would lock them there. They would keep them trapped there as sex slaves. They would train them to be useful slaves for their clients. They would send them to people like they were objects. This wasn't some playboy that got a little into his fetishes. No, this was a cabal of evil that worked tirelessly with intelligence agencies all over the world to control governments through manipulation, blackmail, and straight up threats. Just, you know, threaten to kill them if they don't do what they want. It's all part of this same organization, who were so confident that they were writing about it back and forth in Gmail with their own names. Like, it's crazy how these people had less OPSEC than, like, anonymous Twitter users that are using VPNs. These people didn't care. They talked about it in the open. They texted each other about it. They were emailing about it on their official accounts. I mean, they were so protected and are to this day so protected. It tells you how big of a deal this all truly is. Very creepy-looking statue. That's weird. Let's go through some of these pictures. They have a lot of them in The Guardian. But again, it looks so sanitized. It's almost like they want to give us pictures, but there's nothing in it. I mean, it looks like it's been thoroughly, thoroughly cleaned. It doesn't even look like anybody's lived here, let alone, you know, been ransacked by the cops looking for evidence, which apparently would have happened in that intervening year between his supposed death and when these images were published. Here's the walkthrough video of it. And, of course, we have video of the outside from people like Luke Radowski, who went there, as well as an anonymous user named Rusty Shackelford, who was flying drones over. He was the one that happened to catch the fella that looked an awful lot like Epstein. And, guys, see if you can pull in that video, too. I know it's floating around on the server somewhere, Jeffrey Epstein on his island after his supposed death. These new images are a disturbing look into the world of Jeffrey Epstein and his island. We are releasing these photos and videos to ensure public transparency in our investigation and to help piece together the full picture of Epstein's horrific crimes. We won't stop fighting until we deliver justice for the survivors, said Robert Garcia, the ranking member of the House Oversight Committee, in a statement. Garcia said the panel had also received records from J.P. Morgan and Deutsche Bank and would be releasing those documents in the days ahead. What do we think? What do we think the odds are that those documents have anything to do with Donald Trump? What are the odds that what the Democrats are revealing convicts Donald Trump of being involved in Jeffrey Epstein? I would put all the money I've ever earned on, yeah, he had nothing to do with it. Because time and time again, the evidence is he not only had nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein, he was the only person who knew Jeffrey Epstein at all, who participated in the investigation, who helped the investigation. There's the image. Is that Jeffrey Epstein? Like, if I didn't even tell you what I was showing you and I just pulled this video up, would you not say that guy looks like Jeffrey Epstein? Am I the crazy one here? This is a drone. That's a drone shot from Rusty Shackelford, who took a drone. He was on a boat and he was in the Virgin Islands and he had a drone. He flew it over Little St. James like a few weeks, I think, after Epstein was supposedly killed in jail. And he captured this image. And actually, there's a video of it and you can see the guy. You know, he sees the drone, he gets in and leaves right after. Maybe it's somebody else. Maybe it's Jeffrey Epstein's twin brother that we don't know about. It's Jim Epstein. Or maybe it's Jeffrey Epstein and he was never killed and he's still alive to this day under a different name with plastic surgery that they got done sometime after this image. Again, maybe not. Maybe it's just a random man. But if I showed you this video, would you not immediately recognize Jeffrey Epstein, even if I didn't tell you who it was? I think you would. Okay, so far, the creepiest thing we've seen of these images has to be this dental chair. Now, again, they want to try to portray this as innocent because his girlfriend was a dentist. Okay, if anything, that's kind of creepier. Actually, that's makes it a lot creepier. Was it really his girlfriend? What was it about her that he liked? Was it her access to Novocaine? Was it her access to, roofies? Stuff like that. I mean, it can be pretty convenient if you're running a multinational sex ring operation. You're going to want somebody who can prescribe things on staff. You're going to want a doctor who can legally prescribe certain medications without too many questions being asked. So maybe that's what was behind this girlfriend of his. Even though the images and videos released on Wednesday do not reveal anything new, they appear to be an effort from Congress to keep the pressure on the Trump administration ahead of the 19 December deadline for the Justice Department to release the files. A bipartisan group of members of Congress on Wednesday also asked the U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi to provide a status update. You know, I would love if this really all was a giant trap from Trump. In a way, it kind of is. Like, it's kind of just working out to be that way anyway. But, like, I can say with absolute certainty, it was Bill Clinton. It was the Democrats. It was not Trump. It was almost entirely Trump's enemies that were involved in Jeffrey Epstein. So, you know, whether it was the intention or not, we are in this weird, topsy-turvy, upside-down world where the Democrats are demanding that Trump release the evidence of their sickening corruption. That seems to be what's actually happening here. Now, whether it gets released or not, I don't know. If Trump is using it as leverage, then, you know, it'll never be released. And they have these sort of poison pills about national security in there. So these are the images, the bedrooms that seem fairly innocuous. Is that a giant TV? Oh, that's the chalkboard there. Power, deception, plants. What? I want to read what's on this blackboard. They listed a few words on the in the argument or the article, rather. Deception and power, intellectual fin. I think we could read a few more things on that blackboard. But again, you have to ask the question, did he write this? Was this written after? I mean, these photos were taken a year after he died, so these could kind of be written by anybody. Would they leave it up for that? I'm not really sure. And we saw videos, again, with people like Rusty Shackelford flying the drones in. They were moving things out, including the temple at the top of the island. You know, the creepy temple. That is reflected in Ellen DeGeneres' set on her television show, the blue and white temple where you do sacrifices. Like, it's like Bohemian Grove. It's like, once you know this exists, how can you go back to being a normie? How can you go back to trusting the system or even listening to the system or not just having this, you know, extreme revulsion at all of these people when you understand that the vast majority of the elite in our country were somehow best friends with a open pedophile who'd been convicted for it and had a sacrificial temple on his island that the locals called Pedophile Island. Like, once you accept that truth, what else is off limits? What is too far for you to believe once you understand this? Like, once you grasp who we're talking about here, what they're able to get away with, what they've been doing for decades, really in open, because we knew about it back in, yeah, whenever it was first published in 2009 or whenever it was, 2006 maybe. I mean, we'd known about this for 20 years, and for 20 years, he'd been continuing to do it. And again, I think when we get back on the other side, we're about to go to a commercial break. When we get back to the other side, maybe I'll pick this up again, because so many normies and young people are learning about this for the first time, and it is sort of dislocating them. As I talked about the other day, you leave the cave and you're disoriented and it's so bright you can't even see. That's how a lot of people are with the Epstein thing. And you need to know that we have tracked this for 20 years. If you're feeling lost and dislocated because you are realizing that the people you trusted to run the world are in fact satanic pedophiles, you need to follow InfoWars as we tell you that this has been the case for decades. The awakening is the first step. We need to defeat these people, expose these people, and be rid of these people so our country can regain its footing once again. And not to be disheartened, not to be blackpilled, and not to think that it's hopeless because of how brazen these people are. That's their weakness. That's how we win. Stay with us.
The 12 Days of Christmas sale is here at theallishowstore.com. For the next 12 days, we will be running a series of limited time sales. All supplements while supplies last are buy one, get one free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement free. This isn't buy one supplement, the same supplement, like Ultramethylene Blue, get another one free. This is, you can buy a $20 supplement and get a $40 supplement free. I mean, this is an insanely good deal. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together. Don't miss out. This offer ends Sunday, December 7th. Visit theallishowstore.com today and fuel your body, mind, and power the InfoWar. Every purchase gets 50x entries to win our Jeep Rubicon 392. Oh, my God. I drove one of those. Just amazing. So smooth. This is not your granddaddy's Jeep. Every purchase gets 50x entries this week. Every time you buy something, you're putting 50 times in the sweepstakes to win our Jeep Rubicon 392, 10K cash on top of it, and brand new Ford Raptor, 10K cash for that. This only happens every few months at a crossover. where we're about to end one sweepstakes and a new one's beginning. So there's this 1 week period every 2 months where when you enter to win, you can potentially win both vehicles. And it obviously increases your chance of winning one. The bigger issue is it funds this operation and we can't do it without you. And we have changed the world together, and InfoWars is more influential than ever thanks to you being in the InfoWar. Everything I sell is the very best supplement we can get, the very best highly rated. I take it all. It has changed my life taking the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Bovine Colostrum. These aren't sexy names, but boy, they have sexy effects. The Ultra Methylene Blue. And again, consult your physician before you take Methylene Blue. Ours is medical grade, the strongest out there. Talk to your physician first before you take it. This isn't a game. But Bovine Colostrum, should probably rerun that ad. It was just me at dinner for my dad's birthday in November, right after he had open heart surgery. Thank God it went well. And they had just gotten my Bovine Colostrum before we even rolled it out a few months before. And my mother's like, our hair, our nails, our skin, this is insane. Well, Bovine Colostrum works really great. This is the best. We got the private label, the best that's out there. That's just an example of what is available at TheAlexJonesStore.com. So you can buy any supplement, buy one, get any other supplement you want free, and you've got just 5 days to do it until the 7th of December, 2025. And it's a total win-win. But you're going to get the Bovine Colostrum and have a great effect. You're going to get the Methylene Blue and have an incredible effect. You're going to get the Irish Sea Moss and have a great effect. Now, things like the Irish Sea Moss and Shilajit take a week or so to build up to feel the effects. Same with Bovine Colostrum. Not the case with Methylene Blue. Not the case with our turmeric. That is the strongest. 95% curcuminoid. The average turmeric product is 4%. Still works great for inflammation and, you know, helps your overall immune system and health. So these are all game-changing, amazing products at TheAlexShowStore.com. And I want to thank you all for your support. Widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it. Do your Christmas shopping with us. Ball caps, T-shirts, hoodies, limited edition sweaters. Don't fight the crowds. Get great deals and support the InfoWar. Just decide to do your Christmas shopping at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and let's continue to change the world together.
In the heart of Texas, where the wild coyotes roam, stood the Alex Jones Store, his merry home. The shelves were stacked high with Shilajit, turmeric, bovine colostrum too, and he was always stocked high with the precious Methylene Blue. But up on Mount Microchip lived the grinchiest Grinch that ever was cast, and he stuffed all the supplements in his bag with glee. He took Methylene Blue, Red, Ultimate Life Force, and the Shilajit. In the morning, Alex appeared with a shout, "The globalist Grinch just robbed my Christmas shop." To be continued.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Pedophile Island. Be a nice little tour here. This is one of the more well-endowed cages for the ladies. It's all been cleaned. It's all been sanitized. All of the actual evidence is removed, so now you can see these images, and we'll pretend that we're revealing something when nothing's really being revealed. I want to know who these masks are of. I think if we can answer that question, maybe a lot more will make sense. Because they look like real people. They don't look like they're not cartoon characters. They're not just, you know, artistic renderings of human faces. They look like they're supposed to be specific people. And are they masks or are they wall decorations? I think these pictures are only telling me more questions than answers. We have a better shot of the chalkboard. I didn't notice during the video, but several of the words are blacked out. Why are these blacked out? Why can't you let us see what's under the black boxes? I don't understand. But he's got these. I mean, what it looks like is somebody was giving a presentation because there's not actually notes. Like sometimes you get out the blackboard and you want to like keep track of what's going on, and it's something that you'll actually reference back to. Other times you just use it to sort of emphasize things. This seems like it was being used to emphasize things, Right. We'll have meetings here where, you know, we're talking about who's going to do what and what the show's going to be or whatever. And, you know, you're actually writing it down to keep track of it so you can reference it later. It doesn't look like what this is. Yeah, look at these masks. They're weird, man. They're all men. They all look to be in middle age. Creepy. I was asking Grok just because I was like, maybe they can use like facial recognition. Maybe you just ran the mask through facial recognition or recognition. It might give you who the mask was based on. And it was basically saying it looks like it might be modeled after famous mobsters, famous mafia members. That was Grok's guess. Does kind of have that vibe. Okay, so on this blackboard, it says power, deception, something in face, Finn, intellectual, plants, _, appears, _, music, _, tire. I don't know. I can't even really read it. So it sounds like somebody was like giving a presentation here and was relating all these things together. I also wonder who this bust is of. I also wonder if it even matters because, you know, the way these guys operate, they call this Jeffrey Epstein's home. I wouldn't call it a home. I mean, this is one of his bases of operation, right? It's not like they have their family heirlooms in these homes. These people have like 9 different homes in 3 different countries, and they move between them, and half the time they're living on a yacht anyway. There's not a lot of like sentimentality. I seriously doubt they even do their own decorating. Like, these people don't do anything for themselves. I doubt they even bought the house for himself. I mean, think about what Jeffrey Epstein's life was like, okay? You've got Bill Barr's father in the CIA working as a professor in a New York preparatory school. And this is a very regular thing. In fact, John Curacao, I think it was John Curacao, the famous CIA, former CIA whistleblower, goes on podcasts all the time. Curacao, how do you say his name? John Curacao. Well, I don't mean to mispronounce his name because he, from what I've seen, is very, trustworthy and extremely well-informed and well-involved guy in all of this. I believe it was him that was recruited by a professor at George Washington University. If it wasn't him, it was somebody else I was listening to. Talk about how, he got called into his professor's office one day, and the professor says, look, I'm not a professor. I've never been a professor. I'm a CIA agent who's pretending to be a professor to recruit CIA agents. So that's exactly what happened with Bill Barr's father, who was in charge of this school, who hired Jeffrey Epstein, clearly identified Epstein as somebody who would be useful to the intelligence community. They connect him with a billionaire who says, okay, I'm going to set you up as a billionaire. You're going to be my money manager. Why? But I don't know anything about managing money. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Okay. We know who to bet on. We know what companies are going to do well, what companies aren't. We know where the money's going to flow because we control it. So we'll tell you what to bet on. You use this money we give you. You double that money that we give you. Now you look like a successful entrepreneur. Now you take that money that we give you and you go sponsor innovation. You go talk to Bill Gates and you find out what the Bill Gates and Melinda Gates Foundation needs. And you give them $1 billion. That gives you pull with them. And hey, here's an idea. Again, we've just given you billions of dollars. Like you have to understand, Jeffrey Epstein didn't earn anything. He probably didn't even buy this house. And in a way, I'm not trying to cope here, but you have to understand, these guys are spiritually soulless. Like they're dead. They're spiritually dead. They're soulless. They love the appearance of power, but they don't actually have any real power, because if they wanted to use their quote-unquote power that they have to their own ends, they themselves would be liquidated by the power structure that they're a part of. So they are like – it's like Darth Vader, right? It's like join the dark side and you'll be so powerful. You fall for that. Sure, your power – sure, you're now the second in command of the Empire of the Galaxy, but everything you do is at the behest of a wrinkly old man named the Emperor, and you're half a robot, and you can't even survive without the resources of the Empire keeping your lungs working. Okay, James O'Keefe Media Group released these images in May. This is not even a real release anyway. It's just trying to, you know, create this, you know, keep this narrative going, keep this story in the front pages. Again, I think it's going to backfire. I think it's going to hugely backfire. I don't think they actually want these things released. Maybe that's the game they're playing. Maybe they know that they aren't going to be released. They know they can't release them without, like, collapsing the economy. And so they're just pretending to demand it, knowing that it's an impossible to fulfill demand. So, yeah, Jeffrey Epstein, he's got the house in the compound in New Mexico. He's got the islands in the Caribbean. He's got yachts. He's got the most expensive private residence on the island of Manhattan. And he's, flitting between them. Do you think he felt about any of those homes the way, like, you feel about your home, the way my kids feel about my home? Like, they just sort of – have all of the material wealth you could ever possibly want. And according to the people that know them, they're all universally the most miserable people you've ever met. Do you think Jeffrey Epstein was really a happy guy? You think you'd do the stuff that he did if you were a happy guy? I doubt he even decorated his own home. I can almost guarantee you it's like, okay, we have accumulated a new asset that we're going to sign over to you. I think he bought his mansion in New York for a dollar, right? It's just signed over to him. He just gets it for free, right? This is the way the power structure works. And so when you look at the emails and you see that, you know, Jeffrey Epstein is introducing Larry Ellison to Tony Blair, who later go on to, found the digital ID operation in UK, that the company that's running digital ID in UK is Tony Blair's son who's doing that. And Larry Ellison is talking about connecting Tony Blair to Marco Rubio because they've identified Marco Rubio as a useful tool of theirs that they'll be able to manipulate and use as a front man for their operations. And they're coordinating all of this with Ehud Barak, the former Israel prime minister, and Jeffrey Epstein, notorious pedophile. Like, this is the power structure that actually runs the world. These people, again, billions and billions and billions of dollars, but have never created anything. They're worth billions and billions of dollars. They've never created a product. They've never helped an entrepreneur get his feet under him. I mean, it's all a game to them. It's all a game to them. The money is summoned from thin air. It's created with the stroke of a keyboard. Then it's handed to their agents, who themselves take it and, you know, act like it's theirs and become an investor of something. It's all just methods of control. The whole time, it's all just methods of control. And Jeffrey Epstein himself became such a prominent key player in this because he himself was controlled and a controller. There's the island. There's the temple. What do you need a temple for? And there are other things about this. On the island, you can see places where there's like a large field. And, maybe it's – no, it doesn't make any sense. I was going to say it's like a retention pond. But why would you have a retention pond in an island? That doesn't make any sense. Why would you want a retention pond on an island? You want all the water to go off. So, okay. So it is suspicious. That they have open air fields that are surrounded by 10-foot walls. Why would you want that? Why on your Caribbean island would you want a soccer sized field with no goals, no lines on the ground? They weren't playing soccer out there. Why would you want an open air field with a 10-foot wall of earth around it? Maybe so you can perform outdoor ceremonies without people seeing you. Maybe that's why. I don't know. I'm just speculating here. Why do you perform a mock human sacrifice in the woods in California so nobody sees you do it, right? Ehud Barak met Jeffrey Epstein dozens of times, flew on his private plane, married former Israeli PM Ehud Barak, seen hiding his face, entering Jeffrey Epstein's New York City townhouse, as bevy of young beauties were also spot going in, despite his claim he never socialized with a pedophile and his girls. Yeah. I never even associated with him, never socialized with him. Yeah, but you lived in his house for a couple weeks. Oh, right, that. Lying as easily as the rest of us breathe really is incredible. So, again, there is just something so bizarre about this whole Epstein saga because it really is the keystone Right, you know that phrase, we have an arch, the stone at the top, well, it keeps the whole thing together. It's the keystone. It's the thing at the top that if you pull it, I mean, it's the string of the sweater. You start pulling it, the whole thing unravels. So why the Democrats are so desperate to expose this stuff when they're the ones who were involved with it, the whole thing is topsy-turvy, upside down, nonsensical, inverted, and bizarre. Don't say we didn't tell you. Don't say we haven't been telling you for decades that the creepiest people in the world are the ones running it and that they blackmail each other. And, you know, I meant to text Dew because, and you know, we've talked about this a million times. You can go back and find, especially if you're a VIP member at thealexjonesstore.com, you get access to all the early tapes of Alex Jones. You can actually go back and see where we covered this decades ago. But I wanted Dew to go back because there was a time in 2017, I believe it was, when we were in New York City and we were doing a live broadcast walking around Times Square. And I just have a very distinct memory of Dew walking with the microphone, talking to a group of people. I think it was a group of black girls that he was talking to. And he mentioned something about the elite being pedophiles. And they're like, what are you talking about? And he was like, okay, let me explain how it happens. And he runs through and he goes, okay, there's this guy, Jeffrey Epstein. And, you know, he brought people over. And so what they do is if you are, you know, have the potential to be a leader in your community, they identify you. They find out what your proclivity is. They set you up with an underage girl. They set you up with a girl that you think is of age, turns out to be underage. They film you doing that. And then you're owned forever. And I don't know why I have a very distinct memory of Dew explaining this to random people on the streets of New York. And they got it. Like, as soon as he said it, they were like, oh, that makes sense. That's what's going on. That's what's going on around here. Okay, it's all clicking together now. But the fact is, like, a lot of people are coming around to this awareness. Understand it's been this way for decades. Hell, they had, what's his name? The, you know, first major leader of the FBI, you know, an address. The mob had him, you know, imaged an address and, you know, use that as blackmail to get away with stuff. This is how power operates. It's how it works. They might dress up their just pure, you know, unrelenting blackmail-sponsored power as democracy, and we're just, you know, we're just doing the best for people. You know, they'll dress up their power plays in whatever language is convenient for them, but at the end of the day, it is just pure, cynical, vicious material power that they thrive on, run on, and utilize. And if you can just see through the language, if you can just see through the words they use and get to the heart of the matter, look at their actions, look at who they surround themselves with, look at what they're involved in. Because, and, you know, we explained, I remember getting into this a lot when there was either Project Veritas or James O'Keefe reveal during COVID of the guy who was in charge of the COVID response in New York City. He was an Indian guy, and he's on video talking about orgies. They were having orgies during COVID. And it was so creepy. And he was telling it to like an employee, and it was like other employees that he was involved with. He's like, yeah, we go have sex parties. It's really awesome. Isn't that so cool? And it's like, do you think that person would ever hire somebody of good morals? If you can get one person like that in a position of power, they have a constant fear, a constant paranoia all around them that they're about to be ousted. I mean, imagine this. The vast majority of the people in Washington, D.C., and New York City, and L.A. who run our country are living in a state of constant near panic because of all of their crimes that they've committed. Can you imagine living like that? Can you imagine being that type of person? And then you have to imagine, okay, you do all this creepy stuff. You're going to hire somebody in your office. Other people in your office are doing this creepy type of stuff. It doesn't even have to be anything explicit. You might not even realize you do it, but these people are judging everybody in terms of, will they expose me if they find out? Will this person be the one that brings me down? Because if I'm about to work with them and they're going to be able to overhear my conversation on the phone, and if I leave my email open one time and they catch a side of something, are they the type of person that's going to expose me? Or are they the type of person that's going to be involved with me? Are they the type of person that I can expose this to because they're going to want to join our creepy little coven? And so, you know, you repeat that 10,000 times over 10 decades, and that's what brings us to the modern world. And so it's not even, you know, it's almost like if it, it's almost like if it was, for, if it was just for pure power, I don't know if it's better or worse. I was going to say, it's almost like that's the least understood. It's just utilitarian, but like, no, these people love this stuff. They get off on this stuff, literally. Like, this is what they're into. Some of them, I'm sure, are just like, this is what I have to do to get the power that I want. I'm sure there's some, you know, piece of that. But really, the thing to understand is we're being ruled by people who genuinely feel pleasure. They feel excitement. They feel a thrill when they abuse innocent people. We are run by psychopaths. And once you get one of those in, they multiply. Because they're only going to want to be surrounded by other psychopaths. And they're not going to say it explicitly, but slowly but surely, you know, time over time, like evolution, right? Just iteration after iteration, the people around them are going to be slightly less virtuous, slightly less moral, slightly less willing to stand up and even maybe risk their career to expose wrongdoing, to where eventually you end up with this power structure that is entirely, or, you know, to the critical mass, totally owned, totally blackmailed, totally compromised. You don't have to have 100%. But if you have 75, you're good. You're pretty good. And once you really comprehend that, once you really take that in and understand the spiritual significance of having these people run your country, it just absolutely makes sense where it goes from here. Anyway, we can move on now. We can move on from all of that. I do want to remind you that we have been exposing this for decades. We were at ahead of this literally before anybody else. We've exposed it over and over and over again. And if we'd been listened to in the beginning, you know, we would never have gotten to this situation. But right now, InfoWars, I think, plays InfoWars and people like us play a more important part than ever, because people are waking up. They're being dislocated. They're being ripped out of the cave, ripped out of the matrix. And they need to understand that the response to this is not to freak out. It's not to get blackpilled or go the other way. I always reference the Hippocratic Oath, and they describe it as the twin follies of, you know, over medication or nihilistic, therapeutic nihilism, they call it. And this is usually the response to the revelation of this level of information, is you either get so mad that this has been hidden from you, so angry that you've been, this has been happening under your nose, and that these evil scumbags have gotten away with it for so long, that you just like throw any politeness or reasonableness out. You're just like, I just want Hitler. I just want Hitler now, because this is crazy and we need Hitler to solve it. It's like, that's the over-medication. That's like, all right, calm down. Just because you're learning about it for the first time doesn't mean it's just now happening. The emotional response you might have at learning some of this stuff needs to be internalized, and you need to let it sink in and then approach this logically and from a place of strategic objectivity. And then therapeutic nihilism is to go, yeah, let's let the pedophiles run the show. I mean, what are we going to do? It's like, they clearly are in charge and they're going to kill me if I do anything about it. So I just, you know, therapeutic nihilism, loving the black pill, eating the black pill like jelly beans, right? Because it feels good. Because it feels good to know that you're hopeless. You feel so smart. All these idiots with hope, they don't understand what you understand, how bad it is, how you can never win. That's false. That's a lie. This is a false dichotomy. Reject both of them. Not over medication, not therapeutic nihilism. What you need is reality. What you need is the Founding Fathers, 1776. And the understanding that these people have only gotten away with this stuff because it's been in secret. And by revealing what they do, revealing their networks, revealing their methods, and then dismantling them, we not only can win, we can win easily. We can win in a spectacular fashion. And what it requires is knowledge of this and then the intelligent application of that knowledge in policy, the intelligent application of that knowledge in your own interpretation of what you're seeing in the world around you, knowing the things like ABC News, again, Project Veritas, James O'Keefe exposed. ABC News had the Epstein story before he was arrested the second time, and that the royal family pulled rank found out somehow. Somehow the royal family found out before the story went to air that ABC had the Epstein story. And the royal family came in and said, you're not publishing that. And if you do publish it, you won't get the big interview with Harry and Meghan. Now, do they actually care about the interview with Harry and Meghan? Maybe. Maybe they'd make some money with that selling advertising on the Harry and Meghan interview. But that's just the excuse they need to give to the reporter to explain why they're not running her story. Because in reality, the person at ABC News, whoever it was that told the royal family, is in the cabal. They're in the conspiracy. And we got bad news. You know, tell the queen, we got bad news. People are finding out about it. They want this to go to air. You know, I got to have an excuse to stop them. What should I do? Okay, tell them you can't have the Harry and Meghan interview, and it's a really big deal, and, you know, you'd love to publish it, but maybe it'll have to wait for a little while. We'll put it on the back burner, and then you just let it go away. Once you understand that that's the way that it's decided what goes on our TV and what doesn't, once you understand that that's the filter that exists in the offices of our major news organizations, then you understand why you don't trust the mainstream news. Then you understand why you have to look at everything askance. You have to investigate everything. Literally read everything with a critical eye, like the leftists tell you to do, although they just want you to hate white people. I want you to actually understand who is saying what and why. That's critical reading. And understanding, being able to imagine what you're not hearing. The known unknown, you have to be able to fabricate in your own mind the unknown unknown. And say, I don't know why I'm not hearing this, but I'm suspicious and I think it's being covered up. Again, what you need to understand is that we have been through this for decades. We have known about this for decades. We have exposed this for decades. And we've told you for decades how to solve it by embracing the Constitution that our forefathers left to us, imposing the law as written, and rejecting the manipulation and psychological operations that keep the rest of America blind to this reality. And you can support us in this mission by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com right now is a absolutely massive sale. It's a 12 days of Christmas sale. You're getting BOGO sups, folks. BOGO sups, as the kids say. Do the kids say that? Get me a Generation Z character now. Do they say sups for supplements? We're going to start. Buy one, get one free on all supplements. BOGO sups, y'all. I don't know why that phrase cracks me up. BOGO sups until Sunday, December 17th. Buy one, get one free on all supplements. And it doesn't mean you buy two supplements and you get the cheaper one off. You buy any supplement, you get any other supplement free. Buy a $20 supplement, get a $40 supplement free. Buy one, get one on all supplements at thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on air. Keep us in the fight. Stuart Rhodes on the other side.
Please remember, I can't battle the globalists without your word of mouth, your prayer, and your support. We make it easy at thealexjonesstore.com. We have a massive 12 days of Christmas sale going right now, a huge sale going right now. We will be running a series of limited time sales. These sales could end without warning since each product sells out. So make sure you take advantage of it, ladies and gentlemen. Add any supplement, whether it's a $20 one, you name it, any other supplement you want, absolutely free. So you can buy a $25 supplement, get a $45 supplement free. Add any supplement to your cart and get another supplement for free. TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it. So many other great new products that are in stock as well. TheAlexJonesStore.com. For just the next 5 days, there's a typo on this ad, of course. It's the 12 days of Christmas sale. For the next 5 days, you can buy any supplement, get any other supplement free at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
The bat phone is ringing off the hook. The Joker is at it again.
Quick, Robin. We must analyze this threat. Do you have a location on the Joker, Robin?
Yes, he's at the abandoned warehouse on 5th Street.
I'm sick of that Newsom Joker. He's going down, Robin!
Blast you, bat brain! Must you ruin every rib-tickling riddle I concoct?
He thought he was going to get away with all of that ultra DNA revival!
Christmas with Alex and crew, a cocoa and a coffee brew. All the presents under the tree, everyone happy and full of glee. Frosty, Santa, Rudolph and more, give a gift from the Alex Jones store.
Make a friend happy, smiles ear to ear. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
D During the Biden administration's 2021 Afghanistan withdrawal, the CIA struck a secret deal to evacuate and resettle over 85,000 Afghans, including members of its elite Zero Units paramilitary force, with little to no vetting.
John Solomon at Just the News just published an article that the Afghan assassin who shot the two National Guard members was brought over as part of a secret deal negotiated between the CIA under Joe Biden and the Afghan special forces who had been working with the CIA on the ground as part of the counterinsurgency against the Taliban. So this means not only was the Afghan refugee who did this working with the CIA on the ground, but in fact the whole reason he is here is because of a negotiated agreement between the CIA and those Afghan militia and special forces folks who were assisting the CIA. And this is not an unusual thing.
Analyst Mike Benz revealed this was part of a deliberate strategy treating mass immigration as a remittance pipeline to fund CIA-backed militias abroad using U.S. taxpayer dollars sent home by evacuees.
In fact, it's so common that I think its impact has to be assessed and frankly declassified as to whether or not the CIA has reached such agreements, for example, with fighters in Somalia, whether the CIA has reached such agreements for resettlement and refugee status in Iraq, in Haiti, in you name it, you name your combat zone, and how much of U.S. refugee programs, these kind of negotiated agreements between military and intelligence and the refugees are in our whole system?
Well, first I would say we have a stringent vetting process, which includes background checks before any individual comes to the United States. So I can't speak to one individual, but I can tell you and confirm for you that we take the vetting of any individual who comes to the United States and comes out incredibly seriously.
The extraordinary success of this mission was due to the incredible skill, bravery, and selfless courage of the United States military and our diplomats and intelligence professionals.
Regardless of the BS Biden fed all of us, standard security screenings were deliberately bypassed for these CIA-trained fighters, many of whom suffered severe PTSD and harbored resentment over the debacle of the U.S. abandonment of Kabul on Biden's watch.
When they land, if they choose not to go to the military base and to walk, they're able to do that.
They must receive, for example, certain immunizations in order to enter the interior of the United States.
Well, but my point is, we don't have a system in place to keep people who want to walk. Now, the other question is, who are these people? And as I said, 75% of them are not green card holders, they're not citizens, they're not SIV holders, they're not even applicants for SIV. And this notion that they've been vetted as we would normally vet, I mean, how can we vet people? Are you going to call the Taliban government and say, you know, is this information about this criminal record accurate? Of course we can't. Normally we would be able to contact the government. Of course we didn't have an embassy because we had evacuated it. So we didn't go through the normal screening to, Director Abbas, your answer earlier, we didn't go through the normal screening process that you would for someone applying for a visa. You couldn't because we didn't have the visa officials in the foreign office there to do it. So
Lakenwal was resettled in Bellingham, Washington in late 2021 under the U.S. government's Operation Allies Welcome Program. He arrived with his wife and five young sons on humanitarian parole, was initially hosted for 2 months by local private sponsors Stanley and Valerie Creighton, who raised money for the family via a now-deleted GoFundMe, and received 90-day resettlement assistance from World Relief and longer-term case management from the U.S. Committee for Refugees and Immigrants. Over 76,000 Afghan individuals arrived via humanitarian parole, with an additional 114,000 resettled through the follow-up on Operating Enduring Welcome from 2022 to 2025, for a combined total of nearly 190,000 Afghans.
But But hey, I'm backed by you. I'm not backed by the left or Soros or the New World Order or the whoever's. I'm backed by you at TheologyOnTheShore.com, and we have the 12 Days of Christmas sale. It is buy any supplement and get any other supplement free. That means you can buy a $20 supplement and get a $45 supplement free. Unprecedented deal. So take advantage of that right now. Get the ultramethylene blue, get the Shilajit, get the Irish Sea Moss, get the Bovine Colostrum. It's all there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I want to thank you all for your incredible support.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. The vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined in studio by the one and only Stuart Rhodes. Recently relaunched Oath Keepers. You can find that website at oathkeepers.info. And then the GiveSendGo is givesendgo.com/oath. And help the Oath Keepers get back on their feet and do a very valuable service. And, of course, we had like an hour-long conversation before the show today. We're so stupid. We should have filmed it. Exactly. We should have saved it for here.
Yeah.
But it's – we got to walk a tightrope here. And as I've referenced many times, sort of you first came to prominence with this article, or at least the first I heard about you was this article where you actually laid out 10 orders that the Army should not follow. And I believe it was right after Katrina, right? Or was it in that same
– Well, Katrina was a wake-up call about how you have military and police in this country that don't understand the oath. Don't understand the Constitution. They followed unlawful orders to confiscate guns from American people, the American people. But I started it in 2009 right after Obama was elected. And so the whole point was to remind everyone, current and former, of their oath responsibilities. Out of the gate, I said, you have a duty to refuse unlawful orders, just like the Democrats are saying right now. They're stealing a page from my book, basically.
Right.
And so, but we went even beyond that. We said, oh, and here's a list of 10 things that we consider to be tripwires that could lead to a civil war in this country, like gun confiscation. We will not do these things.
Right.
And like I was talking to you about, we had, you know, not only was I saying that, but current serving members of the military joined Oath Keepers openly and were walking around handing out push cards with those Declaration 10 orders on them, and they were never punished by either command at all.
Right.
So, and I think the reason why is that they didn't want to popularize the message of the oath. If they had come down and dropped the hammer on any of them or on me, it would just made us give us a bigger platform.
Right. Well, because at the time they had control of the military and didn't want to see that slip away.
Yeah.
I remember. I think it was an Alex Jones documentary, but you know, the footage of the National Guardsmen going from door to door and talking to the camera and going, this is so wrong. We shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
They walk up, knock on the door, give us your guns. And it's like, wait, you know it's wrong, but you're still doing it. That was
right. That
was jarring for me. To me, it's a whole different situation, because what you were doing was actually concerned about the Constitution. You wanted to preserve the Constitution, and you genuinely did not want unlawful orders to be followed. These people – they know there's no unlawful orders. The Seditious Six are just trying to create dissension, in my opinion. So
Agreed. Even
though they're like technically doing the same thing, it's entirely different motivation. It's entirely different intention behind it.
Yes.
Which matters to me. And I think it's so,
it matters
I don't know.
To me too. It's maddening, but you can't, in the name of stopping their coup, you can't throw the First Amendment out the window. You just can't. You can't. I mean, I go back to my oath. I have to defend the right to free speech, even of my enemies in this situation, because what I don't want is a camel's nose under the tent, like what we see in the UK, right? I don't want Pam Bondi in the name of fighting, you know, anti-Semitism, bringing in hate crime laws. But even if it was something I didn't like, you know, I still would not want that. I don't want the camel's nose under the tent.
Right.
It's the same thing here. So I think the best strategy is, like I said, to use it to say, okay, great, let's talk about the oath.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. But like, obviously there are some limitations to free speech, right? Or I wouldn't even call them limitations, but like, you can scam somebody out of money by talking to them, right? And it's like, well, but all I did was talk, but it's like, okay, but you lied to them, you.
Well, that's an actual crime.
Well, so, I'd say, I'd, I, according to the U.S. code, you know, trying to inspire dissension in the ranks would be a crime, wouldn't it?
Saying simply that military has an obligation and duty to refuse unlawful orders is not a crime.
Right.
Even if you know that the reason why they're saying that is to cause dissension in the ranks, it's not a crime. It's why they didn't drop the hammer on me for doing that all those years. And I don't want to open that door, because what I don't want is this. I don't want the deep state to say, great, you guys drop the hammer on people for articulating that message. The deep state loves that, because in the end, long term, they just want loyalty, blind obedience by police and military. They'd love to chill the speech of service members and be afraid to even think about saying anything about their duty to say no in the future. Imagine a future Democrat regime comes into power once the blip of Trump is gone. That's their plan, right?
Right.
And then they come back into power. Then they use whatever precedent was set by Trump by, you know, indicting Senator Kelly, for example, or whatever else he does in the name of stopping this, and River, what you advocate, they'll sit down the road and be like, hey, thanks a lot for doing that for us. Now we can make sure that no one in the military even talks about this anymore. They just want blind obedience. Can't have that. So you have to trust the troops. You have to trust the troops to have the common sense. And I think not only trust the troops have common sense, but also educate them on their oath. And use this as an opportunity for a teaching moment to train them on the Constitution. You know, why not do that?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And I really love your idea about having Tulsi Gabbard go out and actually give a presentation on this.
And
go,
Pete Hegseth.
Yeah. And Pete Hegseth. And actually have a PowerPoint and go, you want to talk about the oath? Here's what you can, you know, here is how to lawfully, you know, object to orders. But then I worry if that's not giving too much credence, and the message that the troops would be getting was, okay, I guess even the Trump administration wants us to question order. I don't know how to thread this needle. And I do think it's different when it's somebody who, as yourself, you were a veteran, but you were just a citizen. You were an anonymous citizen. When you have the Senate doing it, or when you have people in the CIA or formerly in the CIA saying, don't worry, we have your back.
Right.
Feel free to do it. It's like, this is different. Expressing just like as a citizen, as a civilian, the Army has an obligation to not follow illegal orders. That's one thing. When you have the CIA actually saying, go ahead and don't follow orders and we'll
wink,
take
wink,
care of it.
Wink, wink, nudge,
wink,
nudge.
Wink, nudge, nudge. Right. That to me is, again, it's a whole different ballgame.
But that's the gift. They're giving us a gift. They think in their arrogance they're going to cause dissension in the ranks. It's going to cause, you know, here's what I did. When I started Oath Keepers, my goal was to cause strategic doubt in the minds of the Obama regime that their orders would be followed. I think I did that successfully, actually. They're doing the same thing. They want to cause strategic doubt in Trump's mind, Hegseth's mind, about whether their orders would be followed. But it's also, I agree with you, it's a dog whistle. That's why they have CIA and the sitting senator. It's a, you know, oh, look at us, we're legitimate. It's a dog whistle to all the milli-type holdovers that are still inside the military. Definitely that's what it is. But use that. Say, here's what's going on. The corrupt CIA, the same ones that murdered Kennedy, the same ones that were biggest drug dealers in the entire world, CIA, lay it all out and say, this is the problem we have here. Brennan has been running, just like Alan Dulles did, he's running his own shadow CIA leadership.
Right.
You know, the entire time. Lay it all out for the troops. Say, we want you to understand these are the domestic enemies of the Constitution, and here's why they're doing what they're doing. And they're dog whistling to all of these holdovers that are traitors to our country. And by the way, we're now purging them all out and start firing them right there on the spot. List their names. We're firing all these assholes because of what they've done, because they're traitors. Just lay it out for the American people. And I think the most credible person to do that is Tulsi Gabbard, because she walked away from the Democratic Party, and she has a pretty amazing record, actually, of being you know, a true patriot.
Yeah. And of course, she's still in the military.
And she's pretty
and
hot.
The DNI. And she's a beautiful woman, so that always helps. No, but she has the gravitas to handle something like that, and I think the ability to handle something.
She does. She has a lot of credibility, and credibility is the coin of the realm.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good idea. It's just, you know, right now the trajectory is they're only getting worse, right? They start off with this seditious video saying, you know, disobey orders. And since then, they've only gotten more brazen. Mark Kelly's on the Sunday shows, doubling down, even expanding it. Now we have Mark Kelly. We can go to Mark Warner, clip 10. Let's go to this clip real quick, because this is a sitting senator. And again, I think, you know, I think it's more about trying to claim that Trump himself is an illegitimate president and not delineating between, like you did, here's an unlawful order and a lawful order.
Right.
You're not allowed to, rape prisoners or whatever versus, you know, being deployed on the streets. what they're trying to do is just say Trump himself is not a legitimate president, so none of his orders should be followed.
Right.
Does that make sense? Well, let's go to this video from Mark Warner.
Unprecedented disrespect when they were all brought to get a pep rally in front of Hegseth and Trump. This is an administration that's fired, you know, uniform generals from the head of the NSA, the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency. Mm-hmm. And I think in many ways, the uniform military may help save us from this president and his lame people like Hegseth, because I think their commitment is to the Constitution and obviously not to Trump. And I expect Bradley to adhere to that.
So the uniformed soldiers will save us from this president. Like, that to me is so seditious. It's crazy. That is literally undermining the function of our government literally attempting to disrupt the chain of command.
That's their intent. But the statement itself, if you prosecute that as a crime, it's not, first of all, it's not going to work. I think they try to do a court martial for Kelly. The federal courts will step in and say, oh, no, he's a sitting U.S. senator. He has to be tried in a civilian court. And guess where it's going to be? In Washington, D.C.
Right.
So, and then the judges and the jury will let him off the hook.
Well, would they be able to do that? They'd be able to supersede the military courts?
Yes, they can. Really? Yeah, they can. They can. And of course, you're also supposing that your military judges will be on your side also.
Right.
This is the problem, is that President Trump, sadly, the Trump administration has not purged the military of all the military types. It's infested with them. I think it's at least half of the officer corps. Now, the rank-and-file military, I'd say 90% are patriots. Like Hegseth himself has said, the response from the troops has been fantastic for ending DUI, DEI and all that nonsense. So I think that's accurate, but the officer corps is horrible. And that's who your judges are when you go into any of these trials and tribunals. So I think there has to be a serious purge in the military ranks. That's how you fix this. But jumping into, they're trapping President Trump. They laid a trap. And you've fallen for it too, frankly, brother. So they want you to say, oh yeah, we gotta arrest them now for their speech. Then Kelly's running around right now. Look at this. President Trump wants to have me, Kelly's gonna be killed because of my speech. He's attacking the First Amendment. He's a dictator. So that's what they're doing. So.
That's what I said when Trump put out that tweet saying, hang him or whatever. It's like, that is literally the worst thing you could do. Not doing anything would be better than that, because now you've just given them everything that they want. Try them out. Like, I would just like to see the law applied like a robot would apply it. They just go, oh, you broke the law, we're going to charge you. And hey, maybe he gets out of it. Maybe he goes through and they declare him not guilty and he's able to portray himself as a whatever. But I can tell what they're doing. And it's like, I'm sick of allowing them to get away with it. I mean, they tried to send you to prison for 2 decades for unspoken conspiracy. You didn't even say the words that they said. So it's like, What is more of a threat? What is an actual insurrection? People wandering through the Capitol for a couple hours, or the leaders of our country, senators and, members of the CIA deliberately trying to foster uncertainty and dissension in the ranks? It's like, this is just deliberately insurrectionist activity. And I don't see them slowing down. I don't see them, being presented with a compelling argument that makes them second guess their position. I see them as pushing until it breaks. And to me, the way to solve that is just go, look, we have the U.S. law code. It says you're not allowed to try to inspire the, army to disobey orders. You did that. We're going to charge you with it. It's just, it doesn't have to be a big spectacular thing. It just has to be like, by the numbers, you broke the law. Here's the punishment.
I think the smarter play is, like I said, to capitalize on it and say, it's wonderful they're talking about the oath, finally, because during the Obama administration, they wanted blind obedience.
Right.
We can point that out. And during the Biden administration also, blind obedience. They put the oath keepers in prison for saying the exact same thing because they saw them as a threat to their hegemony. So point that out, but then say, now let's talk about what's really happening in our country, and these are domestic enemies of the Constitution. Here's why. Lay it all on the table, and then prosecute them for what they actually did, for their actual treason, not for saying you have duty to disobey unlawful orders. You prosecute them for that, they're going to win in the court and they'll be seen as the victim. So prosecute them for their actual crimes.
See, I don't know. It's just, to
I know
me,
it's frustrating.
Just, well, it's just so, like, why do we have the U.S. code if it doesn't apply? Like,
it doesn't apply. It's free speech. It keeps saying to the military, like I did for all that time, you have a duty to refuse unlawful orders, and that's all you say, which is what they initially started out with. That's not a crime. It can't be a crime. If you make that a crime, you open the door to all speech being criminalized in this country.
Okay, but there is, you know, it's 18 U.S. Code 2387, and it says, like, an attempt to do that. I mean, you know, they didn't prosecute you, but they probably could have if they thought it was, you know, to their benefit.
They didn't do it because of the exact same reason why it's a mistake to do that now. Would give me a megaphone. It would have made the discussion on the oath even more viral. I think it went viral anyway, but it would have been even more viral, and I'd have been seen as the underdog and the victim.
See, to me, I just see the trajectory that we're on, where they're only getting more brazen, they're only getting more sort of overt in what they're saying, like, you know, this guy, the uniformed army will save us from this president.
Yeah.
Like,
I said the same thing about Obama.
Well,
like after Bundy Ranch, I said the reason why they didn't drop the military hammer on us, that they were considering doing a military strike on Bundy Ranch, the reason why they did not do that is because they knew that for every veteran that was there, there were members of the military who were still in service, who served with those guys, who were watching. If they smoked their buddies, the guys inside the military would rebel. I said that.
Right.
I mean, that's what is that if not saying, hey, we're going to be saved by the active duty. If you don't watch out, they'll turn on you. But yet they did not prosecute me.
So. Yeah, well, again, I think the intention there was to actually stop a legitimately illegal operation. That's not what the Democrats are doing. They're trying to stop, you know, deportation efforts. Right. These are perfectly
agreed.
Legal.
That's a good point. So they're actually doing something that is attempting to overthrow our constitutional republic and directly obstruct enforcement of federal law. That's accurate.
Yeah.
And that's why President Trump should just invoke the Insurrection Act.
That's sort of the fix it all switch, isn't it? You just invoke the Insurrection Act and
that and mass declassification exposure, like I've been saying forever now. I don't understand why that hasn't been done.
Yeah.
Just expose them. But that's what's part of what I'm saying though. Even before you declassify, and I think you should put Tulsi Gabbard in charge of that and U.S. intelligence, just kick them all out of the buildings. I said this before. Just take over the offices of the FBI, NSA, CIA, kick them all out of the buildings, have the military go in there, military intelligence under their command of Hegseth and Tulsi Gabbard, declassify everything and expose all the dirt that we all know that they use. It's obvious. That's what Epstein was doing, working for Mossad and CIA. It's the same thing they've been doing for a long time. Expose them. But meanwhile, even if President Trump won't do that, why not do an address to the nation and say, we're going to use their strategy for our benefit? Let's talk about the oath. Let's talk about what's really happening in this country. Educate the troops. When you tell the troops, here's why we're going to send you into Chicago or Portland, Oregon, because of all these reasons, and here's the constitutional authority, here are the militia statutes, here's the Insurrection Act, all the things that I've talked about before with you. Lay it out for the troops and educate them. Here's your responsibility under your oath. And hey, let's look back at American history. You know, the American Revolution was in large part a civil war. You had a splitting of the country. You had loyalists and you had patriots. And they need to understand that we're very much in the same place right now because of the indoctrination of the radical left of communism. We're facing a situation where we have so many citizens now who are disloyal to this country and want to see its destruction. That's the real fight. Include the troops in on that. And then they should be purging out anyone, whether it's officers or enlisted, who are radical leftists, radical communists. They're not fit for service. Just purge them out.
Well, and of course that actually happened in Biden's administration, where they purged everybody with a Gadsden flag or they refused to take the COVID vaccine.
But it hasn't happened on our side. I don't understand why it hasn't happened.
Yeah.
I mean, a little bit, not much, right?
Well, but that's sort of my argument about this whole thing is, again, they tried to send you and Enrique Tarrio to prison for 20 years for insurrection when, you know, neither one of you communicated anything like that. So it's like, why can we not treat them the way they treat us?
We should, but we should indict them for their actual crimes, the underlying conspiracy. I think you guys, Alex, yourself, have been correct that the real problem here, like we're talking about right now, is not the blanket statement that you have a right to or duty to refuse unlawful orders. It's that they're doing this for treasonous purposes. It's that underlying conspiracy. But they have not been brought to account for any of that, right? Why not? Because Kash Patel is now their boy, obviously. Right. Bondi is now their bitch too, frankly. They're not doing this. So the answer really is to purge out of his own circle the people that are failing to do their friggin' job, the people in that will do their job. Pick Ivan Raiklin, the friggin' leader of, you know, the FBI. Just pick anybody you want to, frankly. Anyone we know is a hardcore patriot.
Yeah, this is...
No, General Flynn. Pick somebody that you know has balls that will actually fight for this country.
Yeah.
And put them in those positions and then go after the bad guys.
Yeah, I just... You know, to me, the... You know, it's like... I don't know. It's like if somebody comes into my house and is telling my kid... You know, you don't always have to listen to your parents. You know, maybe, right. You know, your parents tells you to do something you don't want to. I'm like, they can try to justify it all they want. I'm just kicking them out of the house. Like, it's at a certain point, all of their little cleverness, you can't stop us from just saving our country. All of their, you know, cause they're all lawyers. They're all advised by, you know, $1 billion, law firms.
And they're
very clever and they're very, you know, they're going to tread that line and do the, I'm not touching you thing.
Right. Yeah.
At a certain point, we just have to go, we know what you're doing. You're trying to sow discord because you want to overthrow the country and we're not going to let you do that.
Exactly. But do that publicly to the American people and to the troops.
Right.
Lay it all out and then prosecute them for their actual underlying conspiracy.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I think this is part of it. I think, I do think it's like, what could they say if they just said, if they just came out and said the troops should refuse orders outright, that would be a crime that you think they'd be,
if they were to say, we want the troops to arrest President Trump, that would obviously cross the line. Or if we want, they said, we want the troops to refuse any orders from President Trump, that would cross the line. That was what you could say is their attempt to disrupt dissension and chain of command. That's clear, more clear, bright line violations. Just saying you have a duty to refuse unlawful orders, as maddening as it is for you, I know it's driving you crazy, it's still protected speech. Because here's the thing, like with my speech, this is the problem, they did violate our free speech. So, but if we do that, because the courts are in their command, first of all, it's not going to work. And second, they'll be able to say, look at this. President Trump is a dictator. He tried to imprison Americans for their, you know, free speech, for saying something that is actually factually accurate and is protected speech. And they'd be right about that. Even though they're traitors, their free speech is still protected. This is the way it is right now.
Yeah, that's why I just want the military to just, I don't even think Trump has to be involved in it. Again, it just seems to me like if it was a rank and file member making a video going, hey, we're going to disobey illegal order.
July 4 Patriot, the Marine way back when. He did that.
I don't know.
He was a current serving Marine and got up there with a mask on and did that. He put out videos. You know, later on, he was railroaded by his crazy ex-wife and falsely claimed of raping his own daughter, molesting his own daughter. It was complete. Oh. He's in prison right now.
Oh, so, wow.
But here's the thing. I don't want men being honorable and speaking out about their responsibility under their oath to be criminalized by anybody.
Right.
But we have to have we have to trust the troops. You got to have faith in the American fighting man.
Well, see,
you have
what, to. What if like I'm playing this out in my head and it's just like, okay, the trajectory is they're only getting more brazen. Again, right. I think, you know, what Mark Warner just said. I mean,
sure. Yeah.
You know, it's like, so more and more statements like that are going to be made, more and more, you know, justification for it. And eventually it's going to get to a point where Trump's going to, you know, try to deploy the National Guard somewhere and the commander is going to say, no, I'm not going.
That's right.
And then it's going to be a big, you know, contest over that.
I agree.
It's going to be a lot.
I agree. But here's the problem.
Why let it get to that point?
Well, here's the problem is why are they being so brazen? Because they know there's no downside, no accountability.
Right.
So I agree with you on that. They should, though, be purged out of every office they're in. They should be exposed for what they're doing, and then they should be prosecuted for their actual treason against the United States. The coup of 2020, the ongoing attempt to kill President Trump, all of these things that Cash Patel is sitting on and not doing anything about, and Pam Bondi also. That's why it drives me crazy. How come we're not actually going after them for their actual coup? Instead, we now want to prosecute them for saying something that they know is bait to get him to say something against free speech.
Yeah, I just think it's against the law. We'll be right back.
The 12 Days of Christmas sale is here at theAlexJonesStore.com. For the next 12 days, we will be running a series of limited time sales. All supplements, while supplies last, are buy one, get one free. Add any supplement to your cart and get any other supplement free. This isn't buy one supplement, the same supplement, like Ultra Methylene Blue, get another one free. This is you can buy a $20 supplement and get a $40 supplement free. I mean, this is an insanely good deal. You can mix and match any of our amazing supplements together. Don't miss out. This offer ends Sunday, December 7th. Visit theAlexJonesStore.com today and fuel your body, mind, and power the InfoWar. Every purchase gets 50x entries to win our Jeep Rubicon 392. Oh, my God. I drove one of those. Just amazing. So smooth. This is not your granddaddy's Jeep. Every purchase gets 50X entries this week. Every time you buy something, you're putting 50 times in the sweepstakes to win our Jeep Rubicon 392. 10K cash on top of it and brand new Ford Raptor 10K cash for that. This only happens every few months in a crossover where we're about to end one sweepstakes and a new one's beginning. So there's this 1 week period every 2 months where when you enter to win, you can potentially win both vehicles. That obviously increases your chance of winning one. The bigger issue is it funds this operation and we can't do it without you. And we have changed the world together, and InfoWars is more influential than ever thanks to you being in the InfoWar. Everything I sell is the very best supplement we can get, the very best highly rated. I take it all. It has changed my life taking the Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the Bovine Colostrum. These aren't sexy names, but boy, they have sexy effects. The Ultramethylene Blue. And again, consult your physician before you take Methylene Blue. Ours is medical grade, the strongest out there. Talk to your physician first before you take it. This isn't a game. But Bovine Colostrum, should probably rerun that ad. It was just me at dinner for my dad's birthday in November, right after he had open heart surgery. Thank God it went well. And they had just gotten my Bovine Colostrum before we even rolled it out a few months before. And my mother's like, our hair, our nails, our skin, this is insane. Well, Bovine Colostrum works really great. This is the best. We got the private label, the best that's out there. That's just an example of what is available at thealexjonesstore.com. So you can buy any supplement, buy one, get any other supplement you want free, and you've got just 5 days to do it until the 7th of December, 2025. And it's a total win-win. But you're going to get the Bovine Colostrum and have a great effect. You're going to get the Methylene Blue and have an incredible effect. You're going to get the Irish Sea Moss and have a great effect. Now, things like the Irish Sea Moss and Shilajit take a week or so to build up to feel the effects. Same thing with Bovine Colostrum. Not the case with Methylene Blue. Not the case with our turmeric. That is the strongest. 95% curcuminoid. The average turmeric product is 4%. Still works great for inflammation and, you know, helps your overall immune system and health. So these are all game-changing, amazing products at TheAlexShowStore.com. And I want to thank you all for your support. Widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it. Do your Christmas shopping with us. Ball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, limited edition sweaters. Don't fight the crowds. Get great deals and support the InfoWar. Just decide to do your Christmas shopping at TheAlexShowStore.com, and let's continue to change the world together.
In the heart of Texas, where the wild coyotes roam, stood the Alex Jones Store, his merry home. The shelves were stacked high with Shilajit, turmeric, bovine colostrum, too. And he was always stocked high with the precious Methylene Blue. But up on Mount Microchis lived the grinchiest Grinch that ever was cast. And he stuffed all the supplements in his bag with glee. He took Methylene Blue, Red, Ultimate Life Force, and the Shilajit. In the morning, Alex appeared with a shout. The globalist Grinch just robbed my Christmas shop. To be continued.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Keep your hand on your gun. Don't you trust anyone. Keep your hand on your gun.
All right, welcome back, folks. You probably won't be surprised to know that the conversation continued off air.
It went really far into revolutionary land.
Yeah, into revolutionary land. Because that's the thing. I feel like we've already crossed the Rubicon. I feel like we're already in a place where they are telling the troops not to follow orders. They're gearing up for they're gearing up for the real fight. And the longer we wait to just take them at their word and treat them like the enemies they so clearly are, it's just going to be a harder and eventually impossible fight to win.
Agreed. I agree with you.
So what do we do?
So, but you have to be clever like the founding fathers were. Remember, credibility is the coin of the realm. When the founding fathers finally resisted the king, they did it after General Gage marched out into the countryside to go and arrest their leadership, to arrest Hamilton and Adams, Hancock and Adams, and then to go and disarm them. They were the aggressors, perceived by the world as the aggressors. That's when the fight kicked off. So we have to make sure that we are maintaining the moral high ground. And the best way to do it, I know it sounds like a broken record, expose them. Mass declassification. The dirt is there. It's how the intelligence agencies control all these dirt bags is through that, through their dirty secrets. Expose them and then invoke the Insurrection Act. And at that point, if you have a sitting judge who's a pedophile but exposes a pedophile or exposes a traitor who took money from communist China, and then you have a situation where these judges refuse to step off the bench or whatever, just go arrest them. At that point, President Trump can point to the American people and say, end of the troops. In this situation, much like with Lincoln's situation, I have no choice but to do what I have to do to defend the Constitution. And I call on all you troops to obey my orders to go arrest these pedophiles and disclose traitors who have now been exposed, go arrest them. And at that point, you're more in the territory of the American Revolution than you are anywhere else. Like I would say, I have to defend the Constitution until it no longer exists. But if we can't fix this through our system because they have so taken over the system with pedophiles and traitors, for example, then we're thrown back into Declaration of Independence territory where we said that whenever any form of government, including this one, becomes destructive of the ends of government to protect the rights of the people, the God-given rights of the people, it is our right and our duty to throw it off. And that's where we're at. But if you're going to have that fight, and we will eventually at some point, why not have it while President Trump is commander-in-chief? And why not have it? Why not have it while you gain maximum credibility by exposing all their dirt and how evil they really are? You know.
Yeah, I just, you know, so we're dealing with a situation where our enemies own the courts and they own the media and the messaging systems and they own, you know, the law enforcement to a large degree and they have, you
and
know,
they own Congress.
They own Congress and they have these NGOs that have seeded these foreign populations, all over our country.
They own the CIA. They own the Federal Reserve.
Yeah. So what we own now is the office that we got Trump into.
Yes, that's right.
That now they're doing everything they can to delegitimize that. And I mean, frankly, it does seem like we've crossed that point where we elected Trump on a mandate with the Congress and the Senate, and yet nothing can get done. The judges are continuing to issue nationwide injunctions, even though the Supreme Court in June said they weren't allowed to do that. So it's like, laws just don't matter anymore. They're just doing whatever they want.
This is where I agree with Nick Fuentes from yesterday. He's right. Trump should do like Andrew Jackson. It's like they made their decision now how they have them enforce it.
Let them enforce it.
But that's why he has to expose them. Because if he does that, starts ignoring any district court judge's injunction, they're going to again accuse him of being a dictator. So expose them for what they are. That's their weakness. Their weakness is exposure. I don't know how else to say it. Expose them and then do what you have to do to save the country.
Yeah, I just think Trump doesn't seem to be taking any of this as seriously as he should. But then again, you know, he goes out and he tweets. I don't know. Do we even say this on it? This is the problem. We've had this conversation on and off air. So I don't know. I don't remember if we mentioned the thing I was going to say. Whatever. I lost train of thought.
Go ahead.
Just that, you know, what would you do if you were Trump right now, other than, so exposure would be the first thing. But again, it's like they need to be punished somehow. And it's like, yeah, they're going to portray it as being a victim. Obviously, that's what they're going to do. But clearly, every time they take a step farther and there's no reaction, they take another step and there's no reaction. They take another step. There's no reaction. It's like eventually you have to intervene. You have to stop this before it gets to the point that it's uncontrollable.
Right. So here's what I would do. I would hold a national address with Hegseth and Tulsi, explain the oath, lay out all the criminality, and then at that moment, start the declassification, and then invoke the Insurrection Act at the same moment. I'm instructing Tulsi Gabbard and Pete Hegseth to work together to go and take over every building and have the troops already on the way, special warfare guys, you know, MARSOC, special forces, Navy SEALs, Army Rangers. Just go seize these buildings and, you know, just announce that. As we lay out for you, the American people, who they are and what they've been doing, Brennan and all the rest of them, we are at this moment seizing all the data in all these agencies, CIA, FBI, NSA. We're kicking them all out of the building. They'll all go home. They can be on paid vacation. Meanwhile, the U.S. military is going to go in there and help us declassify and expose their dirt. So stand by for that. And then once that's done, then invoke the Insurrection Act and go arrest them.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that it really is like the solve everything button. Yeah. Like you just press that and just do it, but
channel your inner Lincoln at that point. you know?
Yeah, and do, but like it, because it's necessary to save the country. It's not like we're just like mad that we're not getting our way. It's like they are literally
what
trying
to. What would George Washington do?
Yeah, and he would, he led the freaking troops to the Whiskey Rebellion. Like yeah. You go to the front and you lead them. And that's the thing. It's like, what more do we need? Like they keep announcing, you know, investigations, and it's like we have all of the information. Russiagate was a fraud. They tried to stop the election of Donald Trump. They tried to screw him over when he was president. It's like we have all of the information we could ever possibly need. We know the names. We know the way they did it. But nothing is happening because it's almost like we've been indoctrinated in this idea that like we have to get them to agree that what they did was wrong, that they're going to wake up one day and go, hey, you're right. I am being an insurrectionist.
That's a fair point when it comes to federal judges. You're never going to get the federal judges to agree
that
they are traitors. They're never going to do that. Yeah.
So and they're never going to indict their co-conspirators. No. So, you know, at a certain point, you just have to go, look, we either do this or we're not a country anymore.
Yeah, I agree. And one thing I would add is not only should he invoke the Insurrection Act and do all the mass disclosures and all of that, take all the data, seize it all, he should also call us all up as the militia, as I said before, all of us. And that's how you preserve order in the states while this is going on. He calls all the men in the country up, at least in the loyal counties. You don't call up the Democrat counties, but call up all the other counties and organize them to suppress the insurrection that you know is going to come. That's when they will use the Podesta plan and cause massive riots all over the country. That's what we're for, the militia. You don't have enough National Guard to do that. You don't have enough active duty military, but you have enough of us to do it.
Yeah. And we want to do it. Like most people I know, and it's funny because
they're ready.
You watch the hardcore right wingers on X or whatever. You think, no, talk to a regular person. And like, I talk to friends and they're just like, I'm just cleaning my gun and waiting for the green light, brother. And it's like, people are ready to just have this wet blanket off of us, of all of these traitors, of all of this subversion.
Right.
It's like, cut the Gordian knot. We're sitting there trying to untangle this thing. It's like, no, we know what they're doing. Yeah, they're going to wink and nod and pretend they're not doing it, but like we don't need their permission. We don't need them to admit what they're doing. We know. Let's just get it done already. Arrest the traitors.
But you have to have as many of the active duty military and veterans and the American people on your side as possible so that we can get it done with the least amount of bloodshed. And the way to do that is exposure.
Yeah, just, you know, I can see sort of the way it's going now, and there's going to be some National Guardsman who's going to refuse to orders. Yep. So they're going to have, you know, court martial him, and that's going to be a big thing. It's just like, I don't see how to interrupt this. I don't see another time that's going to be more convenient than now.
It's going to be done now. And it's kind of like when you're starting to feel queasy and you know you drank something you shouldn't have drank, stick your finger down your throat and throw up. Right. So President Trump's got to stick his finger down the throat of the federal government and throw it all up.
Yeah.
Mass disclosure. Dump all the skeletons out of the closet. This is why they killed Robert Kennedy. He was going to come in back. He was going to become president of the United States when he got the nomination in California. And he was going to go in and investigate his brother's death, his murder of JFK. He was going to expose it all. They knew they could not stop him because he had declassification power if he became president. That's why they killed him. So they tried to kill Trump. That's the one thing they fear more than anything else is him not looking at all this other stuff and looking at what he can do. And I just don't understand what's going on in his circle of advisors and not telling him this is what you can do. They've done it for 2016, right? They've declassified some things. I just don't understand why it's not being done.
I don't understand either. I mean, what is the reason that things aren't being done quick? Because, you know, it's everything.
He's surrounded by snakes. That's the reason.
Yeah. Well, what do we do about that?
One reason.
And let's we can talk about this too. The crew just brought in these stories. Pentagon Inspector General classified report finds Hegseth's signal chat violated regulations, put U.S. personnel at risk. I mean, to me, this whole thing has been a setup from the beginning. They clearly hate Hegseth. First, it was his tattoos. Then he was just drinking, or he cheated on his wife or something. It's just they have relentlessly tried to get this guy out.
He had a brief affair with some girl at a conference, some married woman, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Right. He apparently had a, you know, like to have a drink or two. Oh, get him out. All right. That didn't work. Okay. Signalgate. All right. He's got to resign because of Signalgate. All right. That didn't work. Okay. Now it's the boat thing. All right. Now he has to get out. And it's just like, okay, you just hate Hegseth. You're just trying to get Hegseth out. You're throwing everything at the wall.
Because he's one of the patriots that we know are real, that are legit. That's why they want him out.
Yeah, I completely agree.
They're not trying to get rid of Ratcliffe. Why not? Because he's one of them.
Right, and they're trying to replace him with this Dan guy.
They're not trying to get rid of Kash Patel, even though he's flying around and, you know, doing all the same things he criticized before.
Yeah.
They're not yelling about getting rid of him. That tells you who they really, who they've already compromised. The ones you're not trying to get rid of are part of their team.
Right.
This is the way it is.
So how do we survive it? Because again, it's this type of stuff where it's like, how are we supposed to run a country when there's just constant interference from this obviously aligned group of conspirators?
Stick your finger down your throat and get it over with. That's what President Trump's got to do. So I think we should pressure him to do that. Problem is if you only do like half, not even a half measure, a tenth of a measure by indicting Kelly, for example, and trying to bring him under a military tribunal. You know, everyone wants to do that, but that's not going to work. You have to expose all the corrupt judges. You got to expose all their dirt. Expose the pedophiles. Let's start right there. Expose a Republican pedophile and a Democrat pedophile on the bench, in Congress, whatever, and keep on going through the list of pedophiles first. Then go to the ones that committed treason by taking money from China, or that bought and paid for by China, or blackmailed by China. Expose all their dirt. What U.S. military member is going to stand down and refuse your lawful orders to go arrest a dirtbag like that? They're going to go arrest them.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, it's like all of these different things have this one thing in common, which is anarcho-tyranny, which is that laws are brutally, you know, imposed on people that don't even break them, like yourself or other J6ers. They will be subjected to the full force and weight of the law. Whereas if it's a senator or whoever else, Hillary Clinton, they just skate free. And whether it's deportations or anything else, like, you know, now it's this big controversy where, you know, we're supposed to be this, how do they put it? Nation of an idea. It's, you know, our nation's an idea, right? And it's like, but when you take an oath to become a citizen, you know, you swear you forego all old alliances and
we swear allegiance to our Constitution.
Right.
Which is why I sent you that clip. I covered it last hour for Alex's show. There is a process of revoking naturalization. If you're not loyal to the Constitution, if you belong to a terrorist organization.
Just be revoked.
Yeah, just be revoked. Right.
That's what, and I was saying to you earlier, we were talking about earlier, it's like maybe saying like an algorithm isn't what I want, but that's the idea. It's just like, okay, this person's, you know, became a citizen and then started advocating communism, revoked, they're out. This person did this, okay, that's wrong, revoked, they're out. And if it was just like that across the board, it'd be fine. But instead, it's like they'll just spend infinite amount of money and resources to hunt down things that don't even matter. And meanwhile, you've got senators committing open treason on TV and we can't even slap them on the wrist. It's just so frustrating. It's just okay, if they broke the law, subject them to the law.
I get it. I understand
that. We save the country that way.
But it's not going to work until you purge the judges.
Yeah.
First of all, even if you wanted to say, okay, that is a crime. I don't think it is. I think it's protected speech, as bad as that is, as frustrating as it is. But even if you said, yes, that's a legitimate crime, no judge in this country is going to let that go forward in a prosecution.
Yeah.
None of them. None of the Republicans either.
Not the military court either?
No. No. This is a sad world we're in. They have not purged out all the general millies that are still in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and so that's the issue. Like, yeah,
we purge.
But it just seems like the longer we wait to do anything, the more provocative they're going to be.
Agreed.
The more these you know, judges are going to be utilized.
Well, that's why President Trump should take advantage of the holiday break. That should be his night of the long knives, and to bring up a historical example of purging. That's when he can do recess appointments. He can put Ivan Raiklin in charge of, you know, FBI.
Right.
He can put General Flynn in charge of the CIA or whatever he wants to do. Bring in these hardcores that are Jeffrey Clark in charge of the DOJ, which I really recommend. So I think that's what he can do. Recess appointments. No one can stop him. I forget how long it is, like 6 months or whatever it is for a recess appointment has to be taken in front of the Senate. But meanwhile, you're declassifying, exposing all the senators and arresting their asses.
Yeah.
But start with getting rid of the blocks inside your own administration. I consider them, frankly, traitors, people that have gone over to the other side. Like Bill Barr was from the very beginning. Why didn't Trump fire Bill Barr long before he did? I just don't understand it. So this is what he can do. We should pressure him to do what he can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It seems to me like this is the 100th time this has happened. I mean, how many, you know, you got Gavin Newsom and the governor of Illinois both being like, yeah, come arrest me, Trump. You know, what are you going to do about it? And it's like, when are we going to do something about it? Like, when eventually are we just going to actually get what we voted for? Because that's really what is at stake here is like, who is really in charge of our country? And if voting doesn't matter, like
the deep state,
Right. So then why are we preserving the Constitution?
Well, that's what I'm saying. You do get to a point where the Constitution is destroyed, but even there, following examples of the Founding Fathers, they maintained the higher ground, the perception of the world. Credibility matters. If you're going to have a fight, have it where you have maximum credibility and they have less credibility. And the way to do that, again, is exposure.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, more troops are going to buy their nonsense that President Trump is being a dictator, and they're going to obey their treasonous generals who are still in office, purge the generals out that are traitors to this country. He can do that right now. He can do it tonight. Just sign off on general is fired. As commander in chief, he can fire any general he wants to. Back look throughout history, every president has the authority to fire. Look at Truman fired MacArthur because MacArthur wanted to nuke, you know, the Chinese, and he didn't want to go along with not doing that. He fired him. So they can fire them at will. It's at will. So why does he do that? Start there first. Purge the ranks of the traitors to our Constitution. Start there. But then do the mass disclosure and data dump exposure. Like I said, do a press conference and educate the troops.
Yeah.
Here's what we're doing. It's going to be rough, but this is what we have to do. And then get it done.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, we were talking earlier about the fact Mark Milley's never been – I mean, what he did wasn't – it wasn't just saying things.
Open treason.
Contacted China to undermine the you know, ability of our commander-in-chief to negotiate with them.
He promised them that if President Trump does something that they don't like, don't worry, we will not obey it.
Yeah.
He should be tried for treason.
Well, and not only that – after January 6th, he and Nancy Pelosi got together and said, we're taking the nuclear football away from Trump. They usurped the chain of command.
So why has he not been indicted yet?
It's a great question. This is the thing. It's just the level of frustration. But it's like, because we haven't done anything, because it's like, well, you know, that would be hard. Nobody would indict General Milley. It's like, so we're just never going to do anything. So we'll just let them run roughshod forever.
I'm not saying that.
No, I know. But that's the frustration. Right. It's just like, at what point? I mean, my God, in 2016, we had their text messages saying, this is our insurance policy. Right. Those people are still out there. So it's just like, some point, you gotta step in to arrest these people.
Those are clear crimes.
Right.
That's not protected speech. A sitting general talking to our enemies about how they're going to disobey the President of the United States to help their help our enemies, he should be indicted. He should be tried for treason and then executed. That's what he should be done.
Well,
with a military tribunal. Absolutely.
See, I just feel the same way about the Seditious Six as you do about Milley. It's just like they are trying to they are openly committing sedition. They're pushing the envelope as far as it'll go.
They're very clever.
Oh, they're clever. They're so clever. It's like at a certain point, your cleverness doesn't help when you're getting punched in the face. You know, it's like at a certain point, it's like, wow, that's so clever. Turn around, face the wall.
Would you rather have a trial trying Milley for treason right now in a military tribunal, or trying to do that to Senator Kelly and have some federal judge say you're improperly punishing free speech of a sitting senator, blah, 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 blah. He has immunity because he's a senator, blah, 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 blah. Which one's better for you?
Right now, I think looking forward, I actually think it's Kelly, because Milley's not, he's not in, you know, he's not a threat right now. The threat right now is this impetus they're getting, this motivation that they're building and building.
This is the trap. They set a trap for President Trump and all of us by saying, let's get him to say he wants to suppress free speech and put people in prison for their free speech. And that's how they're going to sell. That's how they're selling it right now.
Right.
You get Kelly all over the place. President Trump wants to kill me for my free speech. He's a dictator. That's what they wanted him to do. All that is doubling down on it and actually charging him. It just makes it easier for them to say, see, we told you so.
Trump should have never said anything. It just should have been the military, just some anonymous, like total unknown clerk in the Pentagon just going, all right, we'll file this and do that. Because, you know, again, even if they make it a big spectacle, even if, you know, it ends up not going anywhere, do what they did to you. Throw them in prison for 2 years in solitary confinement while the court gets its act together. It's like,
but they won't.
Put
that's
them
the problem
it.
Because the federal. We keep going around at the same point. The federal judges are on their team. That's the problem. You know.
Well, then they can be arrested too. Like that's, you know, to me, it's like we only have 500,000 deportations this year. At that rate, it's going to take 20 years just to deal with the people that came over between 2020 and 2024.
It's not going to happen.
It's unsustainable. It's just never going to happen.
Yeah.
But we haven't changed tactics at all. They're still sending out ICE teams to try to arrest one random person in a neighborhood with 1,000 people showing up and trying to stop them. It's like, where is the strategic realignment where they go, okay, instead of doing it this way, we're going to do giant sweeps and anybody that tries to stop us is getting arrested. It's
good question.
It's almost like the left is setting us up for this like chain effect where like, okay, we're going to arrest this person. Then all these people are going to come try to stop the arrest. So we arrest those people. And then maybe these people are going to try to break them out of prison. So we arrest these people. It's just like, just do the law. Just, if it's illegal to throw yourself in front of a cop car to try to let a criminal get away. Anybody that does that needs to be arrested, needs to be charged, and even if they have a friendly judge, put them through the motions.
Oh, I agree. I agree. Yeah. That's why I want Kat Patel fired. And Bongino too, because what is Bongino doing? If he's not speaking out, he's part of the problem. They should be fired because they're not doing that. They're not investigating, and the DOJ also. They're not prosecuting people. I agree. Even if you have piece of crap judges, at least indict them. Then the people will see how illegitimate these judges are. Here are all the facts of the case. Here's why, like they did to us. Here's the affidavits of the witnesses and everything else. And oh, you got a judge that won't go forward? Okay, and this exposes the judges being fraudulent and having no credibility. They destroy their credibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just think it, you know, something needs to be done because right now we're getting a lot of talk and no action, and that's worse than anything in my opinion. Because yeah, now they are running around going, Trump wants to kill me, and it's like,
yeah.
Trump should have never said anything. Just should have quietly been invoked.
I'll agree on that. If you're going to do it the right way.
Do it. Don't talk about doing it first. That's the thing with the Trump administration. It's like they talk such a good game, but it's like, man, if you were doing the right stuff, you wouldn't have to say a word. We would love you and we would be in full support, but instead we get a lot of hoopla. We get a lot of nothing. We get a lot of talk and no action. Meanwhile, the left is on the warpath and they're marching and they're organizing and they're not being prevented from doing so. So it's just like, I don't even care what's done. Just something. Can we do something to stop this feedback loop?
And meanwhile, the clock's running out. It's ticking out.
It is.
Yeah. And that's their strategy. Their strategy is to put him on the defensive, distract him. That's why I'm saying I believe this is part of that, and run the clock out. So he's not actually going after them.
Yeah.
You know, the actual deal.
And it's worked. I mean, they've run the clock out for 11 months already. And now we don't even have the indictments of James Comey anymore. So it's like there's a level of frustration, I think, that at a certain point, it's like they're going to push the envelope. At a certain point, you just have to go, we know what you're doing, and we're not going to let you invoke the Insurrection Act. I really think that.
You should do that right now.
Yeah.
But if he fails to do that, then the American people are going to be put in a position where it's like, okay, we know that this world is governed by pedophiles. That's what they are, the evil pedophiles that look at us like cattle. They have a plan, like Catherine Austin Fitz calls it, you know, the great culling. That's what they're going to do. That's what they're trying to do to us, what COVID was and is. And so if President Trump's not going to fix it, then it'll fall to us to fix it. It'd be much more difficult, though, to fix it when he's out of office.
The longer we wait, the more difficult
it's going to be. So how do we get him to do his job?
That's a great question.
So you become accelerationist and try to find some way into force his hand at this point? That's where we're at.
I don't know. I mean, the man got shot in the head.
I don't know. Back into a prison cell right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you better watch that. Good thing we're running out of time here. No.
Right.
But yeah, that's what I keep saying is I'm like, the man was shot in the head. What am I supposed to say to convince him that it's serious? His ear was bleeding all over the place. So I don't know. I don't know what we have to do, but, we are running out of time in more ways than one. Stuart, thank you so much for being with us. Oathkeepers.info, gibsongo.com/oath. I understand. I don't know. It's just frustrating. But maybe there is no answer.
Declaration of Independence.
Maybe there's one answer, the Declaration of Independence. All right, we'll be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere.
Please remember, I can't battle the globalists without your word of mouth, your prayer, and your support. We make it easy at theolivestonestore.com. We have a massive 12 days of Christmas sale going right now, a huge sale going right now. We will be running a series of limited time sales. These sales could end without warning. Each product sells out, so make sure you take advantage of it, ladies and gentlemen. Add any supplement, whether it's a $20 one, you name it, any other supplement you want, absolutely free. So you buy a $25 supplement, get a $45 supplement free. Add any supplement to your cart and get another supplement for free. TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it. So many other great new products that are in stock as well. TheAlexJonesStore.com. For just the next 5 days, there's a typo in this ad, of course. It's the 12 days of Christmas sale. For the next 5 days, you can buy any supplement, get any other supplement free at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
The bat phone is ringing off the hook. The Joker is at it again.
Quick, Robin. We must analyze this threat.
Do you have a location on the Joker, Robin?
Yes, he's at the abandoned warehouse on Fifth Street.
I'm sick of that Newsom Joker. He's going down, Robin!
Blast you, bat brain! Must you ruin every rib-tickling riddle I concoct?
He thought he was going to get away with all of that ultra-DNA revival!
Christmas with Alex and crew. I'm cocoa and a coffee brew. All the presents under the tree. Everyone happy and full of glee. Frosty, Santa, Rudolph, and more. Give a gift from the Alex Jones store.
Make a friend happy, smiles ear to ear. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
The paradigm of absolute control. And that's why we're just out here doing simple things, pointing out that we're meant to be in nature and be natural. And this is where we find the source that God made to transcend the new world order. And that's why they want to try to keep us out of it.
I'm angry. I've had enough of these people. Little bones of Christian murderers, scum, there on giant death factories, keeping babies alive, selling their body parts. What more do you need to know about these people? I go out and face these scum. They literally crawl out from under rocks. They have green looking skin and they run around screaming, we love Satan, we wanna eat babies. I have them on video. Hillary's in the creepy weird six stuff, man. She sleeps in the same room with that creepy weirdo woman whose mother wears a hood over her head.
What the hell?
That woman number one is ugly. Imagine how bad she smells, man. I'm told her and Obama just stink. Obama and Hillary both smell like sulfur. Spirit gets close to that evil and I feel it go. We're such self-centered crap. We don't even notice and it's out rising up against us.
Millions upon it, people of the very worst type, and I'm so pissed.
We're gonna stab your daughter at the mall.
The classic, the absolute classic from Alex Jones. I thought we would play that just to remind everybody how far ahead of the curve we truly are. Yes, Somalis, the talk of the town these days. Well, we were on that. We were on that event 10 years ago because it was obvious what the outcome of this was going to be. We'll talk about the Somalis today. I got so much to accomplish in this last hour of the show. We got a lot to get into here, and I got a lot of videos to play as well, including, before we go to the videos, and on the topic of immigration, Ben Stiller, he's an actor. For our younger viewers, he was an actor, a couple decades ago, very popular for a character named Zoolander. Look it up. Google it. It's used to be funny. And he's very mad. Everybody doesn't like Somalians. He's defending his Somalian American neighbors. And in response to this, somebody on X named Wayne at X Wayne X. One of the weirder things for me about the recent immigration debate is that it's revealed the liberals are almost entirely dedicated and committed to third world migration to the West. It's not just something they're okay with and that the majority of their neighbors should agree on, but something that is sort of the ultimate goal of government. And the response to this, Harry Bergeron at Tysonberg puts this chart Democrats aren't half the country with a certain set of beliefs. They're just half the country with the least cognitive agency, which I think is a very appropriate thing to say. A chart for supporting trans kids would look similar. It was never a thing. The TV said it was important one day, and they fell in line. And it has this chart. It says Democrats have become much more liberal on immigration while Hispanics remain conflicted. And it shows that at the beginning, you know, fairly even. You had Hispanics around zero in terms of whether they were in favor of cutting immigration or increasing immigration. Hispanics here, that's line in the middle. And you have Republicans have been over here on the right for a while, about negative 40, not changed very much. The Democrats took this hard left turn in 2010. See, this is the population of people who literally can't think for themselves. Their idea, their identity itself is dictated to them by a power structure that despises them.
We have a new product in at theellisshowstore.com. Now, you've been asking for DNA Force, but we brought it back, but even stronger. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want stamina, energy, clarity with no letdown and incredible health, this is it. Ultra DNA Revival. And it's key to understand that all of the ingredients in this are organically derived. You can buy synthetic versions that don't work as good. In some cases, can be toxic for maybe 10% of the price. But despite the fact this has top-end ingredients, it's still very, very affordable. Now, you can go spend a day, and I hope you do, at thealexhostore.com, looking at the ingredients that are in this and then looking at how they're organically derived and how each ingredient itself is a game-changer for you and your family. So if you want to boost your clarity, your focus, your energy, your immune system, your overall health, this is the product for you. And the first run is now available right now at theellisshowstore.com.
Now, back to our program.
Peeling back the layers of the day's events to reveal the core truth. War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have so much to cover in this last hour. Let me do some housekeeping here. We just spent the last hour talking to Stuart Rhodes. I hope you all enjoyed that conversation. And I enjoy having a platform where we can have people on to, you know, even disagree about this stuff sometimes. But I do want to tell you, the Oath Keepers are an extremely important, invaluable organization to have around. They've proven their worth time and time again. It's why they were targeted so severely. So I do really want to encourage you to go to givesendgo.com/oath. That's givesendgo.com/OATH and help Stuart keep the Oath Keepers alive. And just like with InfoWars, you know, we'll go to some videos later today of some of these meetings that are happening in New York City and elsewhere of all these billionaires. And somehow they're all billionaires. And the other side has all of the billionaires. I hate to say it. It's the billionaires that are trying to destroy free speech. It's the billionaires that are trying to sow dissension in the ranks. It's the billionaires that are trying to overthrow our country, our way of life, and destroy our very people. Against that, it's us. It's you. It's you and me and our friends. And we understand. We don't take it for granted, your support. We hope that we are worthy of it. And, you know, we hope that you can see the value of what we provide or what people like the Oath Keepers and Stuart Rhodes provide. And understand, you know, I was having a conversation yesterday about America with a group of guys. And, you know, there's sort of obvious elementary questions, but when you really think about them, it gets really deep in terms of like, what is America? What is it? Is it a people? Is it a nation? Is it a idea? You know, and I have my way of looking at America. We're techno Rome. We're Europeans on hardcore mode. We're what happens when you take the most advanced people in the world and drop them in a hostile wilderness and only the strong survive. It's beyond anything. It's not just a nation or an idea. It's almost something metaphysical. And then the question was, well, how do you keep that alive? How do you keep the American spirit alive in the next generations? So like, how would you guarantee that immigrants coming over are truly American, or how do you raise your kid to be truly American? And, you know, people were sort of suggesting different things. Well, it all goes back to education. You got to be able to educate people. You got to show them, you know, the importance of the values that we have. But I was thinking about it, and it's like, okay, if you want to raise your kid to be an American, I don't think education is the right word. I think storytelling is. it's the stories, it's the narratives, it's the, because they're true for the most part. And if they're not true, they're better than true. There's an old saying from an old historian says, you know, the stories of our past might not be true, but we have to believe them. And there's something to that. I've talked a lot before about, you know, the story of George Washington chopping down the cherry tree. Did it actually happen? I don't know. I wasn't there. But I'm telling the story to my kid. But when I related to my son, it absolutely happened. It was an important part of George Washington's character growing up. Because it's the story itself is more important than its historical veracity. Now, that's not really the case with the American Revolution, because that is truthful. I mean, the story about the American Revolution is real. The story about the Texas Revolution really happened. And what it shows is that it doesn't matter if the most powerful people in the world are on the other side. It doesn't matter if they have all the institutions and all of the control and all of the money. When you have a motivated populace of independent, intelligent, strong people, you can win. You almost are certain to win. And we've talked about it before. I even think the Texas Revolution is more informative of this than the American Revolution. The Texas Revolution, you know, it wasn't just Texas that revolted. Multiple Mexican states revolted. Texas was one of them. And before getting to Texas, Santa Anna just ran roughshod over everybody. I mean, it wasn't Veracruz, but it's a word that starts with V. There's a town, a city in Mexico. And like their militia was like 18,000 men. They'd just gotten brand new Browning rifles from the British. They just armed their militia. And Santa Anna conquered that city in like an hour. And then he spent 2 weeks raping and pillaging his own people because he was a tyrant. Then he comes to Texas. He meets 180 guys with squirrel guns from Tennessee in the Alamo. And it takes him 2 weeks to take this burned out little fort because of the tenacity and the skill of the Americans that were there, the Anglos that were there, the Texians, as they were called. And you know, I wrote an article about it. It's one of the only articles I've ever written. It was about the Alamo, because the symbol of the Alamo is a real thing. It actually happened. It actually shows you what happens when you have people that are willing to sacrifice everything on the hope of freedom in the future. But it has to, but you have to have that hope. You have to understand that the sacrifice is worth it, because those that come behind you are going to recognize and value your sacrifice and carry the torch on. So that's sort of where we're at right now. That's where we're at. We don't have the institutions. We don't have the billions of dollars. Be nice if we did. We got one billionaire, Elon. It's been great so far. Imagine if we had two. Can you imagine? Wow, be amazing. We can't do that. For some reason, and actually the reason is because our economic system has been deliberately established over centuries to preclude anybody who, you know, would be on our side from ever attaining wealth or power to any great degree. They'll just have it stripped from them if they turn. So it's just the fact. That's just the way it is. We don't have the billionaires. All we have is you. All we can rely on is you. The good news is that's more than enough if you're active, if you're conscious, if you're involved. So we don't take it for granted, but we also can't do it without it. So please do support, whether it's us, the Oath Keepers, other groups actually working towards a patriotic end. Without you, we're lost. We don't have the billionaires. We can't rely on them. We have to rely on you. With you, we succeed. Without you, we all go down. So please do contribute at givesandgo.com/oath, or go to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison to let them know who sent you. And take advantage of an absolutely massive sale, by the way. Buy one, get one on every supplement on the store. And that's buy any supplement and get any other supplement free. Buy a cheap one, get an expensive one for free. Or just buy one, get one on whatever your favorite supplement is. If you've ever wanted to try a supplement from thealexjonesstore.com, today's the day. Go now. Do your Christmas shopping there. You're running out of time to make sure it all arrives before Christmas. So go get your shirts, your hats. I've been carrying around. Where is it? I just had it. Where's my knife? I was going to show off my knife, so I took it out of my pocket. Oh, yeah, it's in my back pocket here. I've been carrying around the Alex Jones knife. I was carrying around another knife, and it's one of those things where I thought my other knife was nice. You know, it was actually an NRA knife my grandfather had given me, and I'd been using it for a while. It was pretty sharp, and it was okay. And then I started using this knife, and it's like, oh, that other knife was dull. That other knife was hard to open. It was hard to close. It's not until you use a really nice knife that you realize you've been using a crappy knife for so long. So I've been carrying around the Alex Jones signature knife here. You got knives, you got all sorts of survival gear and hoodies and hats and all sorts of great things at thealexjonesstore.com. It'd be excellent for your Christmas list, and you know what you're going to get is absolute quality, and it's got the Alex Jones signature there. It's that quick release. It really is smooth and nice. Everything's high quality at thealexjonesstore.com. Go there today. Do your Christmas shopping. Keep us on the air and fighting this ultimate revolution for humanity. I got so many videos to go to. I should probably go to them, shouldn't I? Shouldn't I go to them? I want to go to this. It's sort of disconnected from everything else, but it's clip number 5. And I think it's important to understand just how lawless the Democrats truly are. This is Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas asking New Jersey's attorney general, their chief lawyer, making this case. Basically, the Obama administration, in this case, this New Jersey AG, just decided to start investigating and trying to destroy Christian charities without a complaint. There was no complaint made. So here's this guy trying to justify why, on their own volition, without a complaint or without any knowledge that any laws were being broken, why the justice system in this country chose, on their own volition and without a reason, why they would target Christian charities and try to destroy them. I mean, we are in open tyranny right now. Let's watch.
Did you have complaints that formed the basis of your concern about the fundraising activities here?
We certainly had complaints about crisis pregnancy centers. That petition.
No, about this crisis pregnancy center.
So I think we've been clear from the outset that we haven't had complaints about this specific.
So you had no basis to think that they were deceiving any of their contributors?
I don't think that's correct, Your Honor. I think we had carefully canvassed all of the public information that is provided on the website of First Choice in making a determination that we wanted to initiate an investigation.
But you had no factual basis.
I don't think that's true, Your Honor. I think, for example, you could take a look at a comparison between the donation page for First Choice that we have carved out from the very beginning.
But you had no complainants.
We had no complaints, but the state governments, federal government, initiate investigations all the time in the absence of complaints where they have a reason to suspect that there could be potential issues of legal compliance. And look, it could be the case based on our investigation, when we look at documents, when we look at information, that ultimately will determine that First Choice isn't liable for any violation
of the
law.
Well, that just seemed to be a burdensome way to find out whether someone has a confusing website. But you said earlier that you did not agree with their characterization of why they were being put to this. And it would seem that the obvious way to refute that was to say we had 100 complaints. But you say you have no complaints, but rather you looked at the website and their materials and you think it could have been misleading. So why is your characterization any better than theirs?
So, Your Honor, I'd point you to the Turner Declaration, which is at pages 400 to 401 of the Joint Appendix, which lays out the predicate for the state's investigation of First Choice. And we had concerns in 4 buckets. We had concerns about potentially misleading donors. We had concerns about the unlicensed practice of medicine. We had concerns about patient privacy practices. And we had concerns about potentially misleading or untrue medical statements. So I think we had a more than ample basis to initiate this investigation.
But you had no complaints.
We had no complaints, but I think that, Your Honor, that goes at most to the merits. That doesn't go to the standing analysis.
So it's pretty simple. They just decided, as Attorney Generals of New Jersey, to just open an investigation on a Christian facility because they could. They had no reason to. They had no reason to suspect they were doing anything wrong. Just investigate them. See what you come up with. You imagine? Can you imagine if we had that type of initiative? Go after some of this stuff? Clarence Thomas forced New Jersey Attorney General Matt Platkin's chief counsel to admit that the state launched an intrusive investigation into a pro-life pregnancy center without receiving a single complaint about the organization. during oral arguments in First Choice Women's Resource Center versus Platkin. Justice Thomas methodically dismissed the state's justification for issuing a donor snooping subpoena targeting First Choice, faith-based pro-life pregnancy support network that has operated for over 40 years. He drilled into a simple, devastating question. You had no basis to think they were deceiving any of their contributors. And the answer was no, they didn't. However, they still got all of their public information. They still were able to launch an investigation into them. This is the type of stuff that our Department of Justice is doing other than literally anything they should be doing. This is where our resources are going. This is where our money is going, is literally just to oppress Americans on the basis of their faith. It's infuriating. And it goes on, you know, unmitigated and has for a very long time. And after all, the IRS was in trouble for this under Lois Lerner with Barack Obama. Nothing ever came of it. And this is at a time when just regular criminals are just running wild and committing the most insane crimes over and over and over again without anybody stopping them. Again, the thing to understand here is that the people who are now in positions of authority in our country, brace for it, they don't actually care about the law. They don't. They don't care about the intentions of the law, the spirit of the law. They see their role as a soldier in an army that's destroying America. And they'll get whatever position they can and then utilize whatever authority they can accrue for themselves to that end. And that's it. That's what they are trying to do. That's the purpose of this. Remember, the purpose of a system is what it does. Okay? The crime stories from the last week have been insane. And part of me has to wonder, like, why is so much of this being exposed now? Is it just that it's being exposed? Is it happening more often? I think it's happening more often. I don't think this is just a matter of the internet existing and now these stories are getting nationwide traction. Maybe it is case, but like, did it used to be that people were burned alive on public transportation every week and we just never heard about it? Or is this a new phenomenon? I don't know. It's about 2 weeks ago, young woman, white girl, just like Irina Zaruska, sitting on a train minding her own business. In her case, doused in gasoline, lit on fire, third-degree burns over 50% of her body. Nearly died, will never be the same. Just so happened. Now, in every instance of one of these types of just brutal, horrific attacks, what we're told is that the people have mental illness. That they have some sort of disconnect in their brain that makes it so that they can't be held responsible for their behavior. In some cases, that means they just let them back on the street, which again is crazy. I mean, if a person is not able to understand that like hurting somebody is wrong, they need to be put down like a dog or institutionalized for life. How it's the solution to just let them out again is insane. Or they just send them to a mental hospital where they get to play video games for the rest of their lives. Great. It's completely absurd and outrageous. But the question is, why is this particular mental illness? Okay, if these guys all have schizophrenia and they're just hallucinating things, isn't it kind of weird that they always attack small white women? You would think if this was just a delusion, they'd be attacking trains, they'd attack the bus, they'd attack a big fat guy and a black woman. No, no, no. The crazy black guys with the schizophrenia, the crazy Muslim guys with the mental illness, all only target pretty white girls. Yeah, it's just because it's a hate crime. It's because it's a targeted hate crime against a people that they hate. That's men and women from Infowars.com. Shock, sleeping man set on fire in New York subway. Again, did this happen all the time? I don't know. I can think of no less than four examples of people being lit on fire in American transportation in the last year. Is this always happening? We just didn't know about it. Authorities are searching for a suspect who lit a sleeping homeless man on fire in a subway car in New York City this week. The horrifying attack unfolded around 3 a.m. on Monday in Manhattan. A suspect, a brown or black male wearing a hoodie and a backpack, entered a train car at 34th Street, Penn Subway Station, set the unsuspecting victim ablaze, fled onto the platform, and boarded another train. The 56-year-old man was engulfed in flames and suffered severe burns to his legs. NYPD officers even found skin stuck to the seats of the carriage. Well, that's just horrifying, but not the only story like that today. Homeless career criminal with history of assaulting women arrested for slapping NYU student, pulling her hair. This is from Gateway Pundit. We have the video. A homeless career criminal. Like, why does that exist? Why does a homeless career criminal exist? So here's the actual video. There's him on the street. He passes by all of the other people to specifically target the white woman, slap her in the face, knock her to the ground, and keep going. You can see a big crowd of people. I mean, he literally starts off way in the back. He passes by a group of about 15 people hurrying, running. He starts running right here because he's got to catch up to the white woman to slap her. Now, that was a Muslim guy. She made a video about this. She calls the guy white because I guess she only got a little glimpse of him, but a closer shot reveals he's Middle Eastern of some sort. Clip 26 here, Amelia Lewis talks about being assaulted as a New York student on campus or just off campus there in New York City. Let's watch.
So I just watched the footage of my assault, and I'm going to say it's definitely violent. Thank you so much, my best friend Summer, for literally going to the liquor store where it happened in front of and getting the surveillance footage of the assault. Like, I'm shocked I even got this. I have sent it to NYU security, and they're forwarding it to the police, and it actually is the guy that has been assaulting many girls around campus right now. He is a tall white male with long brunette hair and a long brunette beard, and is wearing gray sweatpants and a big black puffer jacket and a blue towel around his neck. So if you see him, please call 911 and report him to the police, because they are looking for him, because he has done this to so many girls, and this is like disgusting. So I'm just gonna say, like, trigger warning, because like it's honestly a really hard watch, like, just I mean, for me, just because it like happened to me, but like just like watch if you're interested, but like it's definitely not cute.
So this is right before it all happened. So I circled where I'm walking. I just crossed the street and I'm walking down the right side of Broadway. And then you can see that he literally followed me across the street. And that's him right there. And he literally targets me and approaches me and does this. You can tell literally everyone around is literally in shock. These girls like don't know what to do. It's so terrible. And then they thankfully helped me up and asked if I was okay. And then you can see the man was asking if I was okay. And then later on, he helps me call the police. I just really want to emphasize how not okay this is. I am a student at NYU. I should not be scared to be walking the street to go to my 9:30 a.m. class.
Wow, how privileged.
These people are disgusting, and they should not be able to be walking around the street
on display. That's what should be illegal.
Targeting girls and doing this, because I heard that this guy did this a month ago. That is not okay. We need to get these people. That's not okay. I'm honestly still in shock, but I'm more enraged that things like this are able to happen in this city, and we really need to do something about it, because this is unacceptable.
Uh-huh.
This just shows that you really need to reflect on who you're voting for and supporting right now, because New York needs help, and we're just not getting the help we need, and this is crazy.
Who do you think she voted for? You're about to see a lot more of that. I mean, you just elected a mayor who has said, quote, violence is a social construct, so... Yeah, they're about to close down Rikers, and about 10,000 of those guys are about to be on your street. And we're going to continue this conversation on the other side, because I got about 10 videos. Because this isn't the only place this is happening, New York City. It's happening in Chicago. It's really happening all over. And every single time, it's people with a lengthy rap sheet. 16, 20 arrests in their career. What happened to the three-strike rule? Did we undo the three-strike rule? You know, that worked in the 90s. And that big crime bill, three-strike rule was implemented. And if you were charged with crime three times, that was life in prison. What happened to that? Can we bring that back? Can we have a one-strike rule? Or do we need another method of punishment? Because our judicial system doesn't exist right now in any meaningful form.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VFM members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VFM membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at thealexshowstore.com.
We are live, still on air, despite all the admissions of the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, hundreds of millions of dollars spent trying to shut us down. But despite that, because you, the activist audience in the arena, stood with us with your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support, we have not only persevered, we have not only overcome, but we have dominated.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com today.
The spirit of victory lives in InfoWars. And InfoWars is more than a URL. It is more than this building. It is the people of America and the world becoming awake and standing up and rising and demanding liberty and freedom in the animating contest in the war against the tyrants.
But hey, I'm backed by you. I'm not backed by the left or Soros or the New World Order or the whoever's. I'm backed by you at TheAlexShowStore.com, and we have the 12 Days of Christmas sale. It is buy any supplement and get any other supplement free. That means you can buy a $20 supplement and get a $45 supplement free. Unprecedented deal. So take advantage of that right now. Get the Ultramethylene Blue. Get the Shilajit. Get the Irish Sea Moss. Get the Bovine Colostrum. It's all there. TheAlexShowStore.com. I want to thank you all for your incredible support.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultramethylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry. The InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now. InfoWarsStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. Final segment of The War Room is on. So I got a lot to talk about, a lot of videos to show. I'm also going to be doing a Moonbase live broadcast tonight, probably starting around 9 p.m. With Joe Wakili. He'll be joining us from Connect Those Dots. Very funny guy. Myself and Lebanon John we'll be talking to him about, and I'll probably say, because I have all these videos from this World Jewish Congress event that happened. I'll probably save it for Moonbase to respond to those, because I still have more to cover here. But we'll get into that, and we'll get into probably what's going on with the Catholics and the Orthodox getting together. It's all very subversive. So make sure you're following me on X at Harrison H. Smith. And you can tune in there or go to rumble.com/moonbaselive. So this woman, Amelia whatever, gets assaulted in New York City. Mae Musk, this is Elon Musk's mother, responds to this, says, I have a female friend who has been punched twice in Soho. The first time she turned around and the man just laughed. The second time the man disappeared into the crowd. Both times she was taking her two teen girls to the subway as they were going to school. There is no protection. It's very scary for her and her daughters. And this is one of those things where, again, is it just that we're seeing it more, or is this happening all the time and the mainstream media deliberately ignores and downplays it? I think it's because media ignores and downplays it. We have so many examples of this. This is the story about the one we just saw, James Rizzo, 45, who has 16 prior busts on his record, allegedly shoved a 68-year-old woman as she walked on Fifth Avenue near West 47th Street at around 8 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day. Rizzo is accused of striking the victim with his elbow without warning, so violently she fell to the ground and suffered a small cut, according to the cops. The unhinged perp's spree continued on Monday morning when he allegedly came up behind 20-year-old Big Apple co-ed Amelia Lewis on Broadway near Astor Place, slapped her head and buttocks and pulled her hair in a shocking attack. That was the video we just saw. He was charged Tuesday with assault in both incidents, facing additional raps of persistent sexual abuse and forcible touching in connection to the attack on Lewis. So, you know, he'll be out tomorrow. So if I had to imagine, he'll be out abusing women tomorrow because there's no bail in New York. And what's a little, assault between New Yorkers? You know, they got bigger fish to fry, so they'll probably toss that whole thing. And this happens over and over and over again in American cities. And we've seen some of the most gruesome examples. Serena Zarutska, this woman on the train in New York who was lit on fire. We had the other story of the guy who was lit on fire. You had this guy in New York who's running around slapping people. You also have this story. Monster, with dozens of prior arrests, punches elderly man, shoves him onto train tracks in Chicago. A man with a long rap sheet dating back to 2001 punched an elderly man and shoved him onto the train tracks in Chicago on Monday morning. 39-year-old Tommy Carter was arrested and charged with attempted murder after he beat a senior citizen and knocked him onto the train tracks. The victim was found lying on the train tracks and transported to Loyola University Medical Center. Carter spat on them as police said Carter spat on them as they took him into custody. Carter was also charged with three felony counts of aggravated battery to a police officer. Apparently he's got, at 39 years old, dozens and dozens and dozens of prior arrests. Last month, a black man with 49 prior arrests doused a white woman in flammable liquid and set her on fire inside of a Chicago train. He was hit with federal terrorism charges and shouted burn B-word as the victim rolled around trying to put out the fire. Good Samaritans were eventually able to help put out the fire, but she was hospitalized with severe injuries. Okay, another guy with 49 prior arrests. 49! 49 prior arrests. This is the thing. You want to talk to me about the rule of law? You want to talk to me about the Constitution? There's only one population in America that's actually subject to law. It's white Christian people. And we're not even subject to law. We're just subject to continual abuse by people with the authority of the law. 49 arrests? Like, what? How is that even possible? He's 50 years old. I assume he wasn't getting arrested as a baby, but I don't know. Maybe he was. You're getting arrested once a year on average, and we just keep letting you out over and 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 over. I'm not even going to do it. I was going to do that 50 times because that's how many times a man has been arrested. Why is he alive? Why is he walking around with our family members in public? Why is he permitted to do this stuff over and over and over and over? Why is it only when he literally tries to burn a girl to death, will he actually be subject to sufficient charges to keep him behind bars for a while? Although they'll probably, you know, let him go to a mental facility like they did with Irina Zhuruska's murderer. Because apparently, even though you're obviously targeting a specific person, even though you are bragging about your attack as you're doing it, clearly conscious and cognizant of exactly what you're doing, apparently just pretending to be a retard means you don't have to be subject to our laws, as long as you're black. As long as you're a black retard, laws in America don't apply to you, I guess. It's all just completely insane. Meanwhile, a two-time convicted sex offender on probation for previous offenses kidnapped and raped a woman at a hotel in Bloomington in September. The judge's name is Juan Hoyos. He let this man plea three separate rapes by gunpoint down to probation. So this guy, Mohammed something. I'm not even going to be able to pronounce it. Abdimahat Billy Mohammed. Abdimahat Billy Mohammed, 28, of Minneapolis, kidnapped and raped a woman he met on Snapchat. He picked her up at her home, drove her to a hotel where he held her against her will for several days and sexually assaulted her. He'd done this three times before, and every time was put on probation, which means nothing happened to him. Three different times, folks. Three different times he raped women at gunpoint and was let out. But try drinking underage as a white guy in Idaho. Your life will be ruined. The victim told investigators she felt uncomfortable during the ride and asked to get out, but the child door locks were activated. When Mohammed parked, two other men got out of the vehicle, one of whom pointed his gun at the victim's head and instructed her to perform a sex act, quote, or I'll blow your head off, complaint alleges. In September, the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension issued a report stating that the DNA profile from the victim's swabs matched a buccal swab taped from Mohammed in connection to separate sexual assault that happened on May 30th. In the 2024 case, Mohammed allegedly brought two sisters up to his apartment in Minnesota and threatened to shoot them if they didn't have sex with him. The victim told first responders that Mohammed had raped and strangled her. But it's not like he's going to go to jail or anything. Nothing happened to him. What do we need to do? What is the solution? What is the solution to this? How do you have somebody raping a woman at gunpoint and he doesn't spend a day in jail? He's caught. He's identified. They go through the whole court case. She testifies. And he gets probation three times. Three times this has happened. Mohammed faces charges of first and third degree criminal sexual conduct in the 2024 case, which is set to head to trial on October 21st. Prosecutors also charged him with two counts of fourth degree assault on a peace officer because he allegedly spat on police officers while being taken into custody. And he's let out on street, convicted sex offender who served no prison time, charged in Bloomington rape. So he went out and did it again. She was kidnapped for a week, by the way. On September 21st, nearly a week after her kidnapping, the very distraught and shaken up victim jumped out of Mohammed's car on Aldrich Avenue South in Minneapolis, where a resident called police. A two-time convicted rapist who was put out on probation is back in jail after he allegedly assaulted another victim at a hotel in Bloomington. What do we have to do? It's like if your system of government doesn't provide for victims of rape having their attackers punished, what is the point? What is the point? It's actually worse than there not being a system. It's worse that the rapist technically goes through the court system and nothing happens to him. It'd be better if just nothing happened to him from the beginning and the girl's brother or father could go take him apart piece by piece with a pair of pliers. That would be a more just and righteous system than what we have now, which is where the entire system serves almost solely to protect the criminal and allow them to victimize people over and over and over again. Can you even imagine what it would be like to be gang raped at gunpoint and then to have your rapist serve no jail time? Like, these women will never be the same. These women will never feel comfortable walking down the street at night. These women will never overcome the trauma that he subjected them to. And he doesn't spend one day in prison? It would literally be more just if there was no system at all and the girl's family could torture him to death. That is actually the superior system at this point. It's worse than nothing. Should we watch? Should we watch some things, y'all? Should we watch some examples of these types of activities? We already saw the New York University student be assaulted. Should we watch some others? Let's go to clip number one here, or actually let's go to clip number 22. This is a Chicago man with a lengthy rap sheet for randomly assaulting white women. He's finally been hit with felony charges after two more attacks. But yeah, apparently this guy walks around elbowing women in the face completely at random for no reason at all. Sometimes he gets arrested for it. Sometimes it's caught on video. And then they let him out and he does it again. That's one video. Here's another clip. Clip number one. Here's a clip of him punching another woman in the face. There you go. She goes completely like paralyzed. He hits her so hard. Again, just walking down the street. It's just what he does for fun, I guess. And he's just arrested for it, let out on street. He does it again. They arrest him for it again. They let him out on the street. He does it again. It's not always white women. Sometimes it's men. Or sometimes it's toddlers. Let's go to clip number six. Little Elm, Texas. Black male enters a store and strikes a random toddler, causing a bloody nose. Random black guy on a bike just punches a toddler in the face. Cool. Very cool. Like, what do we have to do here to purge our society of these people? I guess first we have to purge the judges that let him out over and over. Yeah. It's anarcho-tyranny by definition. We are prevented by law from doing anything to personally seek justice because ostensibly in our system, justice isn't provided by your family or your clan or a bodyguard you pay, but by the police. But that doesn't happen now. So instead, we're left with this system where you can be subject to crime after crime after crime, and the person will keep being released. But if you try to defend yourself, they'll throw you in prison for the rest of your life. Like the case of the man who shot five, it was like there were five or four people breaking into his garage. He's there with his wife. They attack him. He defends himself. And now the judge is trying to throw him in prison for decades. And you have to understand that there's no limit to any of the stuff that we talk about. It's almost like humans have this inability to like understand that like there's nothing stopping this from getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And there's no point at which the people that are blind right now will all wake up. Some of them will. Some of them won't ever wake up. There are still leftist white people in South Africa, folks. The Rainbow Coalition experiment has been an utter and absolute abysmal failure. Okay. They've gone from being a first world country in every category the same as any European country to the biggest murder rate by far. They can't keep the electricity on half the time. The crime is so horrific. I don't even want to describe it. They haven't collapsed. The white South Africans haven't woken up as a whole and rebelled against it. Again, some of them have, sure. But there's still people who are still fighting white supremacy in South Africa. every day. So, like, there's no base level that you get to and everybody goes, okay, that's enough. Now we'll fight the crime. Now we'll fix things. It can just get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And the worse it gets, like, it compounds. It compounds because the more people out here committing these crimes, the longer the backlog at the court, the quicker they want to get through it, the more plea deals they hand out, the less people go to prison, the more are back out on the street to commit more crimes, to back up the log more. It's just, we're in a feedback loop of collapse right now. We have to intervene, stop it, correct it, get back on the right track. Nobody is talking about doing that. It's not hard. We just have to have a 3-strike rule. We have to have minimum sentences be a hell of a lot longer. And really, I think we just have to expedite the death penalty because some of these people have proven themselves unworthy of existence. That's just how it is. Should we watch the videos again? We got to set a code books or whatever, and we got to have, you know, the punishment fit the crime and all that. But on the other hand, I think two times. I think the first time you elbow a woman in the face for no reason, at random, on a city street, no provocation, no excuse, blatantly. Let's roll it. Clip number one here. Clip number 22. The moment you do one of these, you go to jail for like 10 years. You do it a second time, and you should be dead that afternoon. That's just me. I mean, once you prove it's the right guy, once you, you know, like, what's the excuse for this? Why would we want this person around us? It's unfair to everybody else that he gets to exist. So I don't know what we have to do, but somebody punches my toddler in the face, we ain't going to court, okay? I'm not about to sit through a year-long court proceeding to have him let out with a slap on the wrist, okay? I'm going to kill him. Like that. This is like the mindset we need to start having, I think. Maybe. Because our system is not sufficient. It doesn't work. It's been deliberately destroyed. So what do you think happens after that? We're just supposed to accept it? We're supposed to go, well, you know, what are you going to do? Sure, you lit my sister on fire, but he said he was mentally unwell, so, you know, I guess he's back out on the street. Liberty, you know, it's just like, no, we don't have to put up with this. We don't have to be victims. We don't have to let these psychopaths roam around. We want the system to work. We want justice to be applied. We don't want to have to do it ourselves. We don't want to have clans and gangs and family members escorting people around or getting revenge on our behalf. We are reverting back to like the pre-civilization age. In Europe, it's way worse. And this is coming for us. And this is one of the craziest things. I'm not sure if you guys brought it in. The UK is so far gone. Pull that one in for me. They're just doing this in the UK. Like, you need to understand, when we say they're undermining Western civilization, it's all going away. The idea that we get to choose who is in charge of us, that has gone away in America. We chose. He's not in charge. Trump is not in charge. Some random judge somewhere is. I didn't vote for him. The justice system doesn't work. The electoral system doesn't work because they've been deliberately destroyed with the intention of pointing at their destruction, the remnants, the aftermath of their chaotic behavior. They want to point to that and go, yeah, this whole system's screwed up. I guess we need communism now. I guess we better have communism. Let's go to this video. This is happening in the UK. The UK is getting rid of jury trials. That's what's happening. The foundation of Western jurisprudence, the jury trial that we imported from Great Britain here in America, the idea that you choose 12 random people and that is your best opportunity. Like, you've got two sides, they both put their case forward, and you let 12 random but intelligent and responsible citizens who have no stake in the case, they get to decide for justice what is done. It's a beautiful system. It's not perfect, but it's better than anything else anybody else has come up with. It's inconvenient now. The UK is getting rid of it. Let's watch.
First, I will create new swift courts within the Crown Court with a judge alone deciding verdicts in tribal either way cases with a likely sentence of 3 years or less, as Sir Brian recommends. Sir Brian estimates that they will deliver justice at least 20% faster than jury trials.
Okay, so they're getting rid of jury trials in the UK. Have you seen UK judges before? Have you seen some of the things they've done to people? We had a woman just recently. I might have to issue a language warning for this one. Wales judge Tracy Lloyd Clark, who previously freed a 33-year-old man who was convicted of raping a girl under 14 due to prison overcrowding. So this is how it works. This is how anarcho-tyranny works with these gay-ass judges in charge. Prison overcrowding. That's Australian. Has now sentenced a British man to 20 months in jail over a post on X. The prison's too crowded. I guess we better let out the guy who raped a child. But David Morgan, for saying, if you're a white dude apologizing for saying nigger, you're a faggot, he goes to jail for 20 months. The rapist gets out. Because apparently what I just said is worse than rape. Prison's overcrowded. Got to let out the rapist. But in the meantime, let's put the guy with the X post in. UK woman arrested for calling her attacker a faggot in text messages. Cop broke into her home as she bathed. A British woman named Elizabeth Kinney joined Piers Morgan Uncensored this week, where she detailed her shocking experiments being arrested while she was bathing, all for using the word faggot in a private text message. As she took a bath, 10 male police officers and one female entered her home, intruded on her privacy as she sat in her tub completely naked, arrested her for a private text message to an individual where she used the word faggot because she had been assaulted by a man who she then insulted. In text messages, so the ordeal began when Kinney was physically assaulted by a man whom she called a faggot in text messages when she sent a photo of her injuries, which included a fractured skull, to a woman who allegedly caused the confrontation in the first place. So this woman is beaten by a man so badly her skull fractures, and then she's arrested for texting that he's a faggot, for insulting him, the man who cracked her skull. She gets pulled out of the bathtub by 10 cops and arrested. There's no bottom, folks. There's no limit to the absurdity that they're preparing for us. It's not that bad here yet. It's going to be if we don't stop it. And it goes on and on and on. The sentencing remarks in Rotherham grooming gang case reads like wartime atrocities. I'm not even going to read this one, but it's just what happened to one girl who, again, I mean, maybe I should just read it. We don't have time. It's what I was talking about, how the Muslims actually run the orphanages in the UK. And so white girls whose parents die and have nobody in the world looking out for them are handed over to the state, and Muslim women treat them like whores and whore them out to Muslim men over and over and over. And then she gets pregnant and they force her to have an abortion at 14. And it goes on and on. We have to stop what's happening right now, or else even this will look tame for what the whole future holds.
Please remember, I can't battle the globalists without your word of mouth, your prayer, and your support. We make it easy at thealexshowstore.com. We have a massive 12 days of Christmas sale going right now, a huge sale going right now. We will be running a series of limited time sales. These sales could end without warning as each product sells out. So make sure you take advantage of it, ladies and gentlemen. Add any supplement, whether it's a $20 one, you name it, any other supplement you want, absolutely free. So you can buy a $25 supplement, get a $45 supplement free. Add any supplement to your cart and get another supplement for free. TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, you name it. So many other great new products that are in stock as well. TheAlexJonesStore.com. for just the next 5 days. There's a typo in this ad, of course. It's the 12 days of Christmas sale. For the next 5 days, you can buy any supplement, get any other supplement free at thealexshowstore.com.
The bat phone is ringing off the hook. The Joker is at it again.
Quick, Robin. We must analyze this threat. Do you have a location on the Joker, Robin?
Yes, he's at the abandoned warehouse on 5th Street.
I'm sick of that Newsom Joker. He's going down, Robin!
Blast you, bat brain! Must you ruin every rib-tickling riddle I concoct?
He thought he was going to get away with all of that Ultra DNA revival!
Christmas with Alex and crew. I'm cocoa and a coffee brew. All the presents under the tree. Everyone happy and full of glee. Frosty, Santa, Rudolph, and more. Get a gift from the Alex Jones store.
Make a friend happy, smiles ear to ear. It's the most wonderful time of the year.